transmission or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues Incorporated is prohibited. Fayetteville Woodpeckers Baseball is live from the sand hills of North Carolina to the coastal plains and from state line to state line. This is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Woodpeckers pregame show. Getting you set for first pitch. Let's send you out to the stadium.
Great to return home, and we are back live in downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina, for the start of a new homestand. The Fayetteville Woodpeckers, the Down East Wood Ducks, the Texas Affair at the minor league ranks, the affiliates of the Astros and the Rangers, going head-to-head tonight on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Hello, everybody. Welcome inside the Woodpeckers radio booth. I'm Andrew Chapman, to be joined moments by Colin Casey. It is great to be back with you for another homestand, the third of the 2023 regular season. Six straight games upcoming in Fayetteville, arriving into today off of two wins on the road last week in Columbia. Dropped four of six. Still were able to salvage a win on Sunday. Got a historic pitching performance from Michael Knorr and Andrew Taylor, a tandem of arms that we'll see tonight against the Down East Wood Ducks, the first of 24 matchups between these two teams in 2023. Before we dive into the probables and the starting lineups of tonight's series opener, we'll toss it to a little pregame interview. Our own Colin Casey caught up with the manager, Ricky Rivera, to talk about everything from the previous road trip. Knorr and Taylor setting a franchise mark with those 21 strikeouts in a nine-inning game and much, much more. Please do enjoy that interview, and when we come back, we'll talk starting lineups and get you ready for first pitch between the Woodpeckers and the Wood Ducks right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Down here in the clubhouse ahead of this week's series against the Down East Wood Ducks for the Fayetteville Woodpeckers, I'm Colin Casey, joined by manager Ricky Rivera. And Ricky, great to talk with you ahead of this series, coming off a series in which you took two of six against the Columbia Fireflies. First road trip of the year. That's always a kind of a milestone to come across here to get that first trip of the guys on the road. I know you probably would have liked a couple more of those W's, a couple of close games, a couple of extra innings defeats. But ultimately, what'd you like? What'd you not like out of that series?
Well, I'll tell you what I didn't like. We had a fire alarm one of the days at 2 a.m.
Oh, man.
So we had to wake up at 2 a.m. But other than that, there was so many positives. Obviously, we came out a little bit banged up out of that series, but there was a lot of positives. I thought the guys responded well. I mean, we lost four games. Three of them were close. Two of them were walk-offs. So that's all I can ask my team, you know, is, you know, keep it close, compete in those close games, and the ball will start bouncing our way one day or the other, you know. So it's just keep being stubborn with our approach on what we do, keep prioritizing our development, and the ball is going to start bouncing our way once you know, things start clicking for us. But when you're on the road, first time for a lot of the guys that have never played a road series in front of 5,000, 6,000 people, the expectations are I wouldn't say low, but they're lessened for sure. And I thought the guys competed, you know, I thought the guys had fun most of all. And they got to work every day with a positive mentality, regardless of the two frustrating walk-offs.
Perfect. And obviously, in one of the two wins, you were able to make some franchise history, which is always great. 21 strikeouts as a team between Michael Knorr, Brian Perez, and Andrew Taylor. Is that kind of an example of how strong this pitching staff is? I know you have guys with a lot of experience, but already finding yourself in a position where you're leading the entire Carolina League in strikeouts, that's got to be a big goal to accomplish through the first three series of the 2023 season.
Well, I have guys that obviously are very talented, have a plan, again, prioritize development, and also working together with TJ Bergman, Dylan, and Wilk. I mean, those guys, they spend hours and hours working on what the guys need to get better at, and how are we going to approach the lineup while still developing what we need to develop and stuff like that, and being able to compete. And obviously the talent is off the charts on the mound. I mean, we have good guys. That's the most important part. You know, when you have good humans, it's so much easier to coach. It's so much easier to help. And overall in this clubhouse, it's a clubhouse full of good humans. So it makes it a lot easier on us and on them, you know, when we have information for them or they have information for us, in order for both parties to be receptive. So it makes it a lot of fun. But obviously, I mean, I don't know how much longer we'll have a lot of those guys, because obviously they're pretty good. But that's a good thing. You know, we want to get guys in and out of here. We want this to be a stepping stool for them to get to the next level, and hopefully the level right above that, to end the year or next year, you know. So it's pretty cool. So I obviously invite fans to come out and see these guys, because we have some pretty special arms.
Yeah, and as I mentioned before, already setting some records. And one of the guys that was involved in that history last week, Andrew Taylor, struck out 11 batters. That's something that hasn't been done since 2021 in a Fayetteville Woodpeckers uniform by one pitcher. What have you liked from him? Obviously, he gets to start to open the series against Down East. But what have you liked from his development in his first professional year of minor league baseball?
Well, AT's a pro, man. AT is a pro. The way he approaches day in, day out, he takes care of his body, he takes care of his mental. He goes out there, puts in the work every day. And as cliche as that sounds, that's just who he is. You know, he's a good dude. He's also a really good athlete. So it's really good when you make adjustments with guys like that, because they're already, you know, comfortable making different type of movements or moves in, that they're not used to, because they're just good athletes, you know. And AT, but at the end of the day, when AT gets the ball on the mound, he's a dog, man. Like, AT competes. That guy competes.
Another guy who obviously has competed and a lot of eyes have been on him since he's gotten to Fayetteville was the 11th round pick of last year's draft, and Ryan Clifford. This year, he's kind of picked up where he left off, sitting 333 on the season. I think the most impressive thing has been the fact that he's walked or reached via hit-by-pitch more than he struck out to start the year, on-base percentage of over 500. So he looked really good last year when he got here, and as a high schooler coming right out of high school and playing professional ball, he looked strong. But has this full off season that he had, the time in the winter to really embrace Woodpeckers baseball, Houston Astros baseball, has this been a result, this strong start he's had, of having that full off season in the program?
I think it's a combination. I mean, I think all the credit goes to him, his family, the way he was raised. He's just a pro, man. That kid is like one of the most mature 19-year-olds I've ever been around. You know, he's a pro. The way he approaches his business, whether he's 3-for-3 or 0-for-3 with 3 Ks, Cliff is a pro, man. Like, he behaves himself like a pro. He takes the failure, and we always talk about in this clubhouse, it's not how you act when you're doing good, it's how you handle failure what makes you a great baseball player. And he handles failure better than anybody. And obviously, he commands the zone offensively. He's a guy that's always hungry to learn. Always in a positive attitude, and I mean, he's been a joy to coach. I had him a little bit last year in the FCL, and obviously I've had him a little bit here now in Fayetteville. He's been a joy to coach, and he puts in the work, and he's a pro in every sense of the word.
Talking with Woodpeckers manager Ricky Rivera following their road trip to Columbia ahead of this week's series against Down East Wood Ducks. Ricky, another guy that you're all too familiar with is Narbe Cruz, who has found himself in his first year with the Woodpeckers, and he's been very successful to start the year, hitting over 300 on the year. He was a doubles machine last year when he was with the FCL Astros, and he's already got 5 this year, a team high. As someone who watched him play last year and watched him grow as a player, what can you say about his development from 2022 to 2023?
So first and foremost, I'd like to say that having Narbe the last 3 years to me helped me grow not only as a coach but as a human. That kid wouldn't take a paycheck for years just to get his family out of Cuba, get him to the States and stuff like that. That kid would go work after practice and stuff like that. Wow. So his work ethic, his heart is unbelievable. He's such a caring dude, obviously for his family, obviously for his teammates, you know. And last year, his work ethic has been good, but last year it was a guided work ethic where he knew what he needed to do, how he needed to do it. And, I mean, he's a kid that coaches himself, you know. He shows up every day. He's working. He's asking questions. He's constantly in seek of what he could get better. And he's slowly starting to learn how to deal with failure as well now that he's having this much success. And it's very exciting. It's very encouraging, especially a guy that's average or above average at all 4 of the infield positions that gives us that position versatility that we preach about in the org.
Yeah, we've seen him all over the infield so far to start the year. And he's played really well defensively on top of what he's brought offensively to the table. You mentioned promotions and the end goal, obviously, for a lot of these guys. We've already had 5 this year with Casey Ford, Ronnie Garcia getting the bump up to Asheville, Ryan Robleski, Justin Williams, Kobe Kotto, as far as position players go. That's the end goal for these guys, is to get them as far as they can within the Houston Astros organization. And how pleased are you to see a lot of those guys already achieve that goal of getting that call up to high A?
Well, if you're where your 2 feet are at in all moments, good things will probably happen for you if you're not thinking too far ahead. If you don't put a timeline on yourself, if you don't think about the past too much, just be where your 2 feet are at, control what you can, and good things will happen, or what's supposed to happen or meant to happen, it's going to happen, you know. But I just had a meeting with them just now, pre-series meeting, and I just told them, I was like, man, be where your 2 feet are at. Don't ride the roller coaster, right? The only thing you could do is show up every day, put in the work, get the information, use it to your advantage. And then if in the game, if it doesn't go your way, then just you could be like, okay, I'm okay because I put in the work. I did what I had to do. Keep going. And a lot of those guys are older guys. Wroblewski, I mean, obviously, it's a guy that's sad, him, Kobe. Those guys are sad to see them leave because they're such a big impact on my younger guys here in the clubhouse, where they police it themselves, where I don't have to step out there and be the boss right every time, you know. But it's also awesome to see those guys move up, you know, and get what they've worked for. So it's pretty cool. But I think the biggest part for me is like how much they enjoy being here, how much they enjoy being around each other, and how much work they put in being here, not worried about the next level, is what gets them to that next level.
Yeah, man. We saw a bunch of guys go through that last year, getting that push, and you see those guys now in Double A, Triple A, getting up the ladder in the Astros organization, and that's of course the end goal for pretty much everyone who laces them up every night. And to wrap things up, let's take a look at the upcoming series, of course, against Downey's. First time you guys will see him this year. You've had a strong pitching staff. They've had a really strong pitching staff as well. Looking ahead to this series, the goal is to, of course, win as many games as you can. But specifically, offensively, at the plate, what do you want to see out of those guys when they go up and take their hacks?
I just want them to keep controlling the zone. You know, that's the only thing they can control when they're at the plate. Obviously, it's a round baseball and round bat. It's kind of hard. So you might hit it hard and it might go right at somebody. But as long as you're controlling the zone, I think we're in a good spot. We have the right guys, the right group of guys.
Down to the diamond. Woodpeckers baseball starts now.
Dirty throws it deep left field. This ball's way back there. Tie game. 3-run home run. Line drive out to left field. Long run. It gets down. It hops off the wall. Rounding third. That ball's in the bullpen. This game is over.
This will clear the bases. Whitaker going into third. He has driven home all three.
Line drive out of the right field. Mansueta looking up. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. A two-run walk-off home run. And that pitch is called strike three. They have done it. The second combined no-hitter in Woodpeckers franchise history.
Welcome into Segra Stadium. We are ready for some Tuesday night baseball in downtown Fayetteville. And right-hander Andrew Taylor is on the hill, ready to go. His first pitch of the night is up and inside. And that is ball one to Yason Morabel, the Down East Wood Ducks in town. Game one of this six-game series. Andrew Taylor, the pitch home. Fastball down the center. And it's called a strike, 1-1 on Yason Morabel. Woodpeckers in the home whites tonight with the black caps, white tops, white pants. And the Down East Wood Ducks in the camo uniforms with the gray pants, pitches down to the dirt. It is 2-1, a brown leaf camo look for Down East with the black batting helmets for the hitters. Andrew Taylor, the number 15 prospect in the Astros system, winding, kicking, and pitching. And there's a fastball just outside. It is 2-1. It's a little overcast today in Fayetteville. Slight drizzle in the air and 66 degrees. Here's the pitch. And it's fisted foul left side. Into the seats it goes for strike two to Morabel. He'll be followed by Ian Moeller and then Abby Ortiz. Yosi Galan, the DH, hits cleanup. Anthony Gutierrez is fifth. And then Miguel Villarreal. Cam Colley, JoJo Blackman, and Daniel Cueva round out the Down East order. A foul tip on a high fastball. And it's off the gear of Sandro Gaston and hits home plate umpire Chris Jenke. Michael Corbett works the bases, the two-man umpiring crew today in the black hats, black tops, and dark gray pants. Slight shift on the infield with Leo Stanley Molina over the middle towards second. And a fly ball left side out of play.
good battle here, opening up the game for Morabell. Struggled a bit this season, hitting under 100. Big time test to open the series against a guy like Andrew Taylor coming off 11 Ks.
Taylor flutters that glove, winds kick and pitches, and it's up high. So a long walk drawn by Morabell. He heads down to first. It'll bring up Ian Muller, and as Muller steps to the plate, Colin has the Fanville defensive arrangement for you.
Sandro Gaston doing the catching for Taylor this evening. Narbe Cruz at third, Leo's Danny Molina the shortstop, Jackson Lofton at second, and making his home debut for the Woodpeckers, Luis Encarnacion is at first. Left to right in the outfield, Rolando Espinosa, Zach Cole, and Ryan Clifford.
First pitch to Ian Muller. It was a fastball strike, and it's 0-1. Andrew Taylor coming off a 11-strikeout performance over four innings, helping set the new strikeout record for a 9-inning game in franchise history. The pitch, that was a breaking ball that was left up high. Woodpeckers lucky to have him and Michael Knorr, his partner, on days they pitch, going for game 1 and 6 in this series. They'll start with these guys on Tuesday and end with them on Sunday. Big hole on the right side, runner on the move to second. High fastball comes in, Gaston's throw to second, a one-hopper, and the tag applied by Jackson Lofton. They gun down Yason Morabell, trying to steal.
We've seen Gaston airmail a few of those throws down through the first couple series of the season. This time, ended up coming up a little bit short, but Lofton dug it out. And he didn't really have to move his glove very far to place the tag. Great job by the catcher. Great job by the second baseman to get the first out.
Here's the pitch to Ian Muller, and he swings through a fastball. So it's 1-2. That was the perfect pitch to throw a runner out on as well. A high fastball that helped get Gaston out of the crouch quickly. Taylor, the 6'5" right-hander, pitches and misses down and outside. 3-2 on Muller.
Saw a bit of Muller last year, late in the season. Had some big swings against the Woodpeckers to close out his 2022 year.
And here comes the 3-2 pitch. A swing and a high fly ball hit out to left, and it is gone. Onto the berm. Ian Muller. And his first at-bat in Fayetteville gives the Wood Ducks an early 1-0 lead. The first home run surrendered this year by Andrew Taylor.
How about the first hit he's given up against a right-handed bat this season? Muller got a payoff pitch right down Broadway, turned on it, sent it over the left field bullpens. Yeah, he struck out 11 batters, no walks. The only base runner was a hit-by-pitch out of righties in his first two outings, so big-time swing by Muller, just what the doctor ordered for Down East in their first game on a road trip.
And now the left-handed hitter, Abby Ortiz, playing over at first base today. And the first pitch is low on him, 1-0. And it's big now that you catch the runner stealing in Morabell. And ultimately saves a run with the help from your catcher. Leo Stanley Molina positioned up the middle again against the lefty in Ortiz. Flies that one right over our heads, a foul ball, and it's 1-1. Fayetteville 8-6 entering today, two games back of first place in the Carolina League South. The 1-1 is a little outside and low, two balls and a strike. Meanwhile, the Down East Wood Ducks, who started right at the top of the division over the first week of the year, they've dropped their last two games, five of their last six, come in 6-8. 2-1 is a fastball for a strike on the outside corner. It's 2-2 on Abby Ortiz.
The issue really for Down East has been offense, so to have a solo shot against an ace in the first inning, certainly a sign that tides might be turning offensively for the Wood Ducks.
The wind kick and pitch and a line drive out to center field. That will fall for a single. Quickly picked up by Zach Cole. And Abby Ortiz continues to hit the ball hard. behind Ian Muller. A single follows the home run. And Andrew Taylor having to work with some base runners in the early going.
I think a big advantage for Down East as the season goes on, they have a lot of guys in this lineup that were here at the end of 2022, kind of carrying over from last year. So they know how it works in single A, and they have a lot of veteran presence in this lineup up and down as you look.
So Yosi Gallan takes the first one at the shoulders for ball one. Gallan, the designated hitter. 21-year-old Andrew Taylor, originally from Michigan, the second-round compensatory pick by the Astros, 80th overall last year. 1-0 pitch is down and away. And it's two balls and no strikes. Infield shifted around the opposite way now to the right-handed hitter. Runner on the move to second. And Gallan swings and fouls it back and out of play. So two balls and one strike. And lofted all the way towards the middle.
22 pitches already for Taylor. Not too often we've seen him have to get that pitch count up there. And it's not like he's been making bad pitches, just a lot of foul balls from this Wood Ducks lineup making him labor out there on the mound.
Working from the first base side of the rubber out of the stretch. Here's the pitch home. And Gallan chases a high fastball. He was late. And it'll go to 2-2. Yosi Gallan, not a huge average guy, but was a top home run hitter in the league a year ago. Comes in with a pair of home runs already this year. Five RBIs in the pitch. He swings and might have broken the bat. Turns into a lazy pop to the left of the infield and is gloved by Leo Molina for out number two. Didn't sound like it hit him on the hand. That was an odd busted bat. It didn't sound like it hit him on the hands, almost closer to the barrel, but it still broke the lumber.
It also felt like he kind of bailed out on that swing once he made contact. It was more of a half swing than it was a full cut. Just too far in. That running fastball from Taylor jammed him badly.
And now it's Anthony Gutierrez. First pitch is upstairs. 286 hitter, home run, and five driven in for Gutierrez. 12 total base hits on the year, and he's scored four runs. Off of first still is Abby Ortiz following his single to center. There's a high fastball in the 1-0. We'll go to 2-0 on Gutierrez. And there's a comeback fastball by Taylor to get it to 2-1. Gutierrez, just 18 years old, originally from Venezuela, and he signed internationally with Texas just last summer. Last winter, should say, in January of 2022. Here comes the 2-1 pitch, and it's a fastball down and outside. It's been all heater in this at-bat for Taylor. Anthony Gutierrez last season started in the Dominican Summer League and then made it to the States by summer's end, played in the Arizona Complex League. Looks at a fastball strike on the 3-1, and Taylor gets it to full. Colin mentioned earlier that pitch count continuing to rise. This will be the 30th of the inning for Andrew Taylor.
And this is only the fifth batter that he's faced.
Yeah, a lot of deep counts being worked. Runner on the move, the pitch comes in, and a fastball misses down and outside. Another long walk drawn by the Wood Ducks, and Anthony Gutierrez makes it on. That's the fourth batter to reach in the first five hitters against Taylor, and now Zach Wilkins, Fayetteville pitching coach, is going to go out there and have a conversation with Taylor.
And I think we're also going to start seeing some stirring in the Fayetteville bullpen, and again, it's not really for the struggles that Taylor's had. Yeah, he's given up four base runners so far in five batters. It's just the pure fact that he's thrown so many pitches. I mean, a guy like Taylor, how dominant he's been at the college level at Central Michigan and so far in in Fayetteville this year, he's not really used to going this deep into an inning as far as pitch count goes. So you always have to factor that in, and so you wonder if Fayetteville might have that plan B in case that Taylor can't get out of this inning with that pitch count. Still trying to keep it in relative check at this point.
Yeah, 35 is kind of that magic number with a lot of pitchers per inning. They don't like to have them throw much more than that. 75 per outing is usually the cap. And now Taylor needs a quick out against Miguel Villarreal, or it may be bullpen time. Here comes the first pitch to Villarreal, and it's a fastball in the outside corner, 0-1. Brian Perez is the right-hander out there for Fayetteville, starting to warm up. He pitched behind Michael Knorr last Wednesday in that 21 strikeout game. Here's the 0-2, 0-1 that is, to Villarreal, and it's just below the letters for ball two, ball one that is, 1-1. Miguel Villarreal with a home run, six driven in, batting .265. And he's also scored five runs. Pitch home, fastball got him to swing and miss.
Climbed the ladder that time with the heater. Just at 92 miles an hour from Taylor. He can get it up a couple more than that. It's really the spin on it that makes it rise on you and very tough to catch up to, especially when you're a right-handed bat.
Force at every base. Taylor a strike away. Here's his left leg kick. 1-2 pitch. Fouled back. Into the net it goes. Miguel Villarreal is a returner from the 2022 Wood Ducks team. He finished the year really excelling at the plate. Batted .323 with Down East in 38 games. Homered once, drove in 23 over 130 at bats. 1-2 pitch. And he swings and misses. Andrew Taylor puts up 35 pitches in that first inning, but gives up just the one run on the solo home run by Ian Muller. He strands a pair. And we go to the bottom of the first as the Woodpeckers grab the bats for the first time when we come back.
Third in the world, Bunker. Bunker's entrance is brought to you by Cumberland Tractor Kubota of Fayetteville. Visit their location at 1530 Middle River Loop, right here in Fayetteville, for a variety of services and Kubota equipment. Fans, make some noise for Bunker! I'll just say right, just one time before it will come again. Little boys inside. Fans, do you want free tacos? Well, here's your chance. If the Woodpeckers score three runs tonight, all fans in attendance will win a free taco from El Cazador. If the magic number hits, fans will receive a coupon on their way out tonight. Coupons are redeemable at any of their locations here in Fayetteville. Say, we want tacos with me on three. One, two, three.
I need you to understand. Try so hard to be your man, the kind of man you want in the end. Only 10 can.
On the mound for the Wood Ducks, Joseph Montalvo.
Tastes good like soul food. Parked up outside in the old school.
Leading off the bottom of the first inning for the Woodpeckers, the right fielder.
Just underway at Segra Stadium, and the Woodpeckers step into the plate for the first time. Ryan Clifford leads it off, and the first pitch to him is a little inside and high as well for ball one. Starter is right-hander Joseph Montalvo, 1-0 record and a 5.14 ERA. Changeup is down and outside, 2-0 on Clifford. Clifford, Narbe Cruz, and Zach Cole, top three in the order. Here comes the wind kick and pitch. And it's chopped out towards second base. Moving to his right is Cam Colley. He'll field at the belt and throw across the body to get the out. One gone. So Narbe Cruz stepping into the plate, and Colin has the Down East defense for you.
Ian Moeller with the home run in the top of the first inning does the catching for Montalvo. Miguel Villarreal is over at third. Danier Cueva, the shortstop. Cam Colley at second. Abby Ortiz at first as the first pitch to Cruz. In there for a strike, Jojo Blackman out in left field. Anthony Gutierrez in center. And Yason Morabel is in right.
Swing and a miss on a high fastball to Cruz. And it's quickly 0-2. Narbe Cruz batting .308 on the year. A home run and 11 driven in. Here's the pitch. Fastball struck him out right over the middle. It actually was a changeup there for Montalvo. So two up, two down quickly. It'll bring up the lefty, Zach Cole.
Talk about polar opposites in the top of the first, bottom of the first. Woodpeckers only forced Montalvo to throw half a dozen pitches through two batters, and to his credit, he's retired them quickly.
First pitch is up and outside. 1-0. Zach Cole batting .234, team home run leader with three. And the next pitch outside, two balls and no strikes. Cole was 0-for-3 on Sunday, finished 3-for-23 with a home run in Columbia. And now the 2-0 pitch, it's popped up left side and over the seats, out of play. 2-1. Had a really good start to the season, though, here at home. Two doubles, two home runs. He drove in nine RBIs over the first nine games. Nine RBIs over the first eight games, that is, at Segra Stadium. Fastball outside, 3-1, and stole three bases as well. He's got speed when he gets on. And now he cracks this one left side, but it'll sail foul.
And he ended up with three homers in the span of five games, including the start of last week's series against Columbia. But Firefly's pitching staff adjusted and pitched really well against him the back half of the series.
A check swing on the payoff pitch. Looked like it was low, but home plate umpire says he went, and that'll end the inning. So three up, three down for Down East starter Joseph Montalvo. Pair of strikeouts, and the Woodies lead 1-0 after one inning.
Take a look at the video board. These two lucky fans are sitting in the coolest seats in the house. You've won a tumbler, courtesy of Blanton's. Call Blanton's for all your air conditioning, plumbing, and electrical needs. Hey, there they are. Come on. Show us those tumblers and show us your excitement. Hey, cool as a fan. You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love. You want paradise, but someday you'll pay the price. I know. I've seen it before. On the mound for the Woodpeckers, Andrew Taylor. Leading off the top of the second inning for the Wood Ducks, the second baseman, number 4, Cam Colley.
Welcome back to Segra Stadium. It's the top of the second inning, and the first pitch coming into Cam Colley is pulled on a line out to left. It'll get all the way to the base of the wall. And Cam Colley attacking the very first pitch he sees from Andrew Taylor. Picks up a leadoff double.
So we saw a patient start from Down East in the first inning, and now Cam Colley gets the first pitch of the second from Taylor and quickly rips it down the left field line. Down East showing a much better approach in the start of this series than we saw out of them in their six-game series last week against Carolina Mudcats. Starting to see this offense turn a real corner.
So now JoJo Blackman, the lefty and eight hitter. He's just a pair of hits on the year. One of them a home run. Curveball down in the dirt. Gastone's throw up the third base line very late. Oh, and Cam Colley stumbling off the bag has been called out. Narbe Cruz was putting the tag on his foot, kind of forcing him off of third a bit. And he lifted it at the last second, was called out by Michael Corbett, the base umpire. So there you go. Lesson learned. And Narbe Cruz with a heads-up play not to keep that tag off of Colley's leg. JoJo Blackman now in a 1-0 count. And a changeup missed just a little bit low.
A brief protest from manager Carlos Maldonado, but didn't last very long. That happens sometimes. You go hard into third base, sliding, you pop up, and your feet leaves the bag.
Fastball is up high on Blackman. Three balls and no strikes. Andrew Taylor is hoping for a quick second inning after he needed 35 pitches to get through the first. Here's the wind, kick, and pitch. Fastball down the center. 3-1. And there's a strike called on the inside corner. JoJo Blackman was tossing aside the gear, but he'll have to step back in a full count. Blackman, a returner from the 2022 squad. He played in 16 games last year for Down East, only batted 160. Here comes the 3-2 payoff and a fly ball golf deep to center. Zach Cole angling to his right, now circling around towards the left center field alleyway, makes the grab, and there's two gone.
Some good battle now from Taylor on a day where evidently he doesn't have his best stuff compared to what we saw in the 11 strikeout performance last week in Columbia. Still out there grinding for those outs, deep counts once again. Blackman gets a hitter's pitch on 3-2, but he can only send it gently into center field. Cole able to make the catch, and now a pitch clock violation that'll give Taylor the advantage starting this at-bat.
Yep, they called a violation on Daniel Cueva. It'll be 0-1 on him before he steps in. So here comes the 0-1, and it's down low, 1-1. Looked like Cueva had at least 1 foot in the box and was starting to get his second foot in the box. It wasn't fully engaged when the pitch clock hit 8 seconds. And thus the violation as he sprays a foul ball left side and out of play. Taylor trying for a 1-2-3 inning. One strikeout so far, first time through the order of Miguel Villarreal that ended the first. Taylor locks the target of Gastone, pitches, and a foul tip, but Gastone can't squeeze it.
I don't know what it is, Chappie, but I feel like this year we've seen a lot more violations called on hitters as opposed to pitchers. Seems like maybe those guys are getting a little more accustomed to taking their time and end up getting caught off guard for the violation.
Yeah, definitely was the pitchers out of the gate when they implemented the clock last year, getting it the majority of the time. Check swing on a 1-2 up high and looked close. And the home plate umpire says he went through. And now an argument coming out of the Down East dugout towards the plate umpire, Chris Jenke. So that'll end the inning, 1-2-3 for Taylor. We go to the bottom of the second, 1-0 Wood Ducks.
Thank you, sir. I'm here with Dan. Dan, what do you do for a living, brother?
First responder.
First responder, Sampson County. Give him a round of applause. All right, Dan. We're going to see how well you know celebrity smiles, all right? Take a look at the big board back there. We're going to show you a smile. You got to tell me who it belongs to. You ready? And away we go. All right. I think
maybe Obama. I don't know.
Dan thinks it's Barack Obama. Is he correct? A very young, it's Jeremy Pena, the Houston Astros. throws. Okay, it's okay. We got two more. Give me another one. Oh, come on now, Dan.
Maybe the Rock.
He says the Rock. He says maybe the Rock. I'm pretty sure it is the Rock. All right. One more, brother. Here we go. The last smile. Okay. Who is it?
I think it's Stitch.
Dan says Stitch. Is he correct? Yes. All right, Dan. Look at that camera right there. Give me a big go, Packers.
Go, Packers.
That's right.
Back on the mound for the Wood Ducks, Joseph Montalvo.
When it's burning low.
Leading off the bottom of the second inning for the Woodpeckers, the catcher, number 47, Sandro Gastone.
Sandro Gastone leads off the bottom of the second inning. It's 1-0 down east, and Gastone flies the first pitch out into straightaway center field. And that ball is caught for out number one by Anthony Gutierrez. So it'll be Luis Encarnacion stepping in. Dari Lorenzo to follow. Molina, Lofton, and Espinoza round out the Fayetteville starting nine. So Encarnacion, who joined the Woodpeckers last Tuesday on the road in Columbia, getting his first at-bat in his home ballpark. And it's up and outside, ball one. And here's a ground ball up the middle. That'll squeeze into center field. And Luis Encarnacion is on with a leadoff hit.
No batting gloves necessary. He's one of the few guys left out there in baseball that objects against using batting gloves. I know Kyle Tucker, the one that comes to mind in the Houston Astros system, but he drew some comparisons to Evan Gattis in his first couple of games with the Woodpeckers, and he's even got the same stance as Gattis, of course, without the batting gloves, too.
Fastball to Dari Lorenzo is up and outside.
Gattis, of course, also a former Astro, spent a lot of years with the Atlanta Braves as well.
Next pitch is outside. And it's 2-0. Middle infield double play depth as Lorenzo cuts and fouls it back. Two balls and a strike. Dari Lorenzo is pulling balls well to right field in Columbia last week on the road. Came up with a couple of extra base hits. Steps in batting 304 on the early season. Seven base hits, no home runs, and one run driven in. Runner on the move to second. Lorenzo cuts through. Here comes the throw down. It's a one-hopper, and it pops in and out of the glove. And Encarnacion is safe.
He didn't get the best of jumps over at first base, but the low throw from Moeller, tough to dig out. It popped in and out of the glove of Cueva. And so Encarnacion had his first hit in this ballpark. Now he has his first stolen base at Segura.
Trying to get active and try tie this game. And Lorenzo swings through a low one for strike three.
It was a nice little pitch there from Montalvo going down and away, the off speed. Seems that more and more in modern baseball with a guy who's got a changeup that almost moves like a two-seam fastball down and away to a left-handed hitter. Did just that. Jose Fleury's got a really good one in this Woodpeckers bullpen, and that time Montalvo showing it off with a punch-out.
And Leo Molina takes a slider down and outside. Yeah. And a long swing and miss there by Molina. Now 1-1.
He got himself a big game in that Saturday matchup against Fredericksburg towards the end of the series. Had that three-run home run out to right center.
Down in the dirt. And that pitch is blocked by Mueller. Good job to keep it in front. Keep the runner honest down at second base.
Starting to see more and more pop out of Leo as he's gone on here in single A. Towards the end of last year, we saw a lot more extra base hits out of him. And so far to start this year, he's got a homer, a couple of doubles in the first couple of weeks.
Spinning a throw down his second. Cam Colley slaps the tag on the numbers of Encarnacion, but he's able to get back in there. So 2-1 on Molina. He went 2-for-17 last series in Columbia with a run and five strikeouts. Swings and hits a line drive right to Cam Colley towards the middle from second base, and that'll end the inning. So the Woodpeckers get a man in scoring position, but don't bring him around. 1-0 Wood Ducks after two.
Woodpeckers, 0. All right, fans, you know what time it is. It's time for T-shirts. Get on your feet and make some noise for the Brian Hunter T-shirt toss.
Peace up, A-Town. Yeah.
I can't hear you. For the Woodpeckers, Andrew Taylor.
Jason.
Top of the Wood Ducks order begins the top of the third. Down East with an early 1-0 lead. Jason Morabell leads it off. And now in the play-by-play, glad to be back in the booth with him. Here is Colin Casey.
Great to be back, Andrew Chapman, and Andrew Taylor back on the mound. His 47th pitch of the outing is fouled straight back by Morabell. Lone run of this game coming from an Ian Mueller solo home run. He waits on deck as it's top third of the Down East order. Abby Ortiz in the hole. Taylor goes to the breaking ball, misses low. He's got five pitches to work with. He's got the fastball, that sweeping curve, changeup, a slider, and a cut fastball. His 1-1 is struck well deep left field, but a long run and a slide, but it'll end up in the seats. Espinosa running out of real estate down the line. Morabell coming into this game hitting just 0-83 on the year. Three hits and 36 at-bats. He has drawn 10 walks compared to 12 punch-outs. On-base percentage just below 300. Breaking ball. Gaston tries to frame it, but umpire Chris Janke not buying it. Two balls, two strikes. Good little Tuesday night crowd on hand, starting an hour early than our normal weekday games at Segra. Fastball high, and that is ball four. Or no, it's not. It's ball three. So everyone was fooled for a moment, but Chris Janke says it is ball three. Full count now on Morabell. has 4 stolen bases on the year, so hoping to get his speed involved. But he was caught in the first inning, and he has walked once again. So 2 plate appearances in 2 innings and 2 walks for Yason Morabell. Leadoff man on for Down East to begin the third. It's the third walk issued by Andrew Taylor. Most he has surrendered in a single outing. Had 2 in his debut. I was in this ballpark back on April 13th. First pitch to Moeller. Here it is. Breaking ball in the dirt. Ian Moeller now, this was his first home run of the season tonight. He has 6 in his single-A career. 3 of them have come against the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Had a 2-home run game here at Segres Stadium back in August of last year.
Yeah, so not only 3 against the Woodpeckers, but all 3 of those at Segres. Something about this ballpark.
Fastball, outside corner, 1-1. Down East will play a dozen here. And then Fayetteville will travel to play 12 on the road in Kinston at Granger Stadium. Total of 24 between these two teams who came to the Carolina League together back in 2017 as part of the expansion. So they'll be tied together for that, the two Texas teams' affiliates. Swing and Moeller fouls it right back.
You're looking at the former Bakersfield Blaze and the former High Desert Mavericks, because the two California League teams left, and that led to the Carolina League expansion.
Now they play just over an hour apart.
Yep. So did Bakersfield and High Desert, coincidentally enough.
The 1-2, and Moeller fouls it back. Of course, there's been baseball in Kinston for a while. Go back to the 70s, where at the time they were the Kinston Eagles, or the Kinston Blue Jays, depending on what year it was in the 70s. They were the single-A affiliate time of the upstart Toronto Blue Jays, recently joining as an expansion team in Major League Baseball. Long pause by Taylor. The 1-2 is skied on the right side of the infield. Encarnacion coming over. He retreats back to the bag, and Lofton makes the catch right in the base path for out number 1. Moeller retired. Abby Ortiz will dig in. Ortiz, another guy who played a lot of games against Fayetteville last year. He is 1-for-1 with a single. First pitch, fouled right back. And Chappie, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Ortiz had a walk-off home run last year against the Woodpeckers down in Kinston.
Yeah, he did, and that was one of his big swings of the year. A home run to right field, I believe. I believe it was part of a doubleheader where he walked off, too. It was game 1 of a doubleheader.
Still looking for his first homer of 2023 as he takes very close changeup just outside. This will be pitch number 60 for Taylor. He certainly won't go as long as he had hoped for starting the ball game, but he's bounced back quite nicely after that lengthy first inning. Ortiz fouls it right back. Michael Knorr scheduled to go. We'll probably see Brian Perez mixed in as well. He was warming up before. He has since sat back down. Seen him a lot as the bridge between Taylor and Knorr this season. Morabell leads off first. Now the 1-2. Slider right there for strike 3 as Ortiz goes down looking. Strikeout number 3 for Taylor. Second out here in the third. He's got that big sweeping curveball, and that makes that slider all the more difficult to pick up. Has that same amount of break just laterally. And Ortiz was fooled by it. The DH, Yosi Gallan, takes a close pitch for ball 1. Gallan popped out to short on a broken bat swing in his first trip. Lights are on with the overcast skies and the setting sun here in downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina. 1-0 lined and caught with a leap by Encarnacion. That'll end the inning. So the leadoff walk, a little value for Down East as Taylor retires the next three batters. We go to the bottom half of the third. Down East 1, Fayetteville nothing on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Hey, show off your baseball spirit with a smile. Show us those shiny teeth for the Catlett Family Dentistry Smile Cam. Joseph Montalvo.
Home half of the third at Segra. Down East leads Fayetteville 1-0. Appreciate you tuning in on your Tuesday night, whether it be at FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com or the MILB First Pitch app for our audio listeners. Of course, you can always watch the game at Bally Live or MILB.TV. 1-0 pitch to Jackson Lofton, chopped on the ground towards second, picked up by Colley, throws on a run the short way to Ortiz, and Lofton is now 0-1, retired on two pitches, and Joseph Montalvo continues to cruise, just one hit allowed, 2 1/3 innings pitch for the 20th rounder back in 2021, the final pick for Texas in that draft. Out of Central Point Christian Academy down in Kissimmee, Florida. Rolando Espinosa, a big swing and a miss. Fayetteville nine-hitter. Had a roaring first couple of games for the Woodpeckers this season. Foul tips one straight back. A lot of hustle doubles in that series against Carolina. Call it a series, it was essentially just two games. First game being rained out. It's actually the second game that was rained out. First game was picked up on Sunday as part of a doubleheader to wrap up the abbreviated series. As Espinosa swings and misses, that's already four strikeouts now for Montalvo, who has made quick work of this Woodpeckers lineup. Ryan Clifford will bat for the second time tonight, but the base is empty and two down. Bounced out to second to begin the night offensively for Fayetteville. Called strike one. Montalvo pitched in 10 games the Arizona Complex League for the Rangers, went 4-0. As there's a called strike two. He only started one of those games, however. This is his first start at the single A level in his third game this season, so not really much of a starter throughout his career, but he has certainly looked the part so far this evening. 1-2 now on Clifford. His 32nd pitch of the night is skied foul to the left. Woodpeckers start off the season 6-2 at home, in which they hit .313 as a team, but the series against Columbia, they hit just .204. Only a couple of home runs compared to the 8 they hit at home in that long homestand to begin their 2023 season. Here's a 2-2. Clifford just barely gets a piece of it. Pitching as well was a lot better at home with a 2.53 earned run average compared to 4.02 in Columbia. Fastball misses just high, and Clifford fills the count. Montalvo winds and throws the payoff pitch, misses up and away. That is ball four. So Clifford has now reached base via walk or a hit by pitch 17 times this year compared to 15 strikeouts. Quite the ratio for the 11th rounder last year. He's aboard with two down. Narbe Cruz, the batter for Fayetteville.
That's fantastic. Just finds ways to get on. That's why he has such a great on-base streak to begin the year, and that'll continue today.
Good point, Chappie. 1-0 the count. He has now reached base in all 14 games he has played in this season. Did get the day off on Sunday. That was his first of the year. Mm-hmm.
That's what you get, too, with him, is the availability factor, consistency. Ready to go just about every day.
Pitch to Cruz. Fastball called a strike. You were with us during the pregame show. Talked with Woodpeckers manager Ricky Rivera. Went in depth about the journey that Narbe Cruz has gone on to break into professional baseball. Quite the story for the Cuban. He grounds one outside of third. Really was just trying to give his family a better life here in the United States. Growing up in Cuba, and he has gotten off to a very strong start in his first season in Fayetteville. Just inside. Of course, nobody knows Narbe as well as Ricky Rivera does, as he was the manager last year down in the Florida Complex League where Cruz broke out. Starting to see that carry over in the Carolina League. Cruz sends one in the air, shallow center field. Jogging in is Gutierrez, makes the catch, and the side is retired. So Clifford draws a walk with two down, but Joseph Montalvo pitches through it. He has gone three innings of one-hit ball and has held Fayetteville scoreless. We're on to the fourth, 1-0 down east on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Race.
It is time for the fast food race. Folks, place your bets. It's ketchup versus mustard versus a taco versus a hot dog. It's Taco Tuesday. I have it on good authority that the taco is a burner. Let's find out. They're going foul pole to foul pole. Get ready in 3, 2, 1, go! And they're off. I told you, the taco with the early lead. He will not be denied on Taco Tuesday. Give it up, fans. Give it up for your food and condiments. Taco is rounding. He's close. Catch up. Come on, catch up. Everybody's looking at you. Hurry up. Taco Tuesday brings it home with the checkers, followed by banana, followed by hot dog. Bring it up the rear. Come on, catch up. Everybody's looking at you. Hurry up. It's the fast food race. Go Packers!
You okay? You
top of the fourth. Down East still leading 1-0. Anthony Gutierrez will look for his first official at-bat of the game, and he has it in the form of a leadoff single out to left field against Andrew Taylor. Gutierrez walked his first time up and now laces one out there for Down East's fourth hit of the ball game so far. Bring up Miguel Villarreal. Down East coming into today hit just 206 as a team. Good enough for ninth out of 12 in the Carolina League. On the move is the runner, and it is struck well down the left field line, but foul, it hooks. Villarreal, he straightened that one out. Would have tripled the size of Down East's lead. Gutierrez will head back to first. Taylor at 65 pitches, so the end nearing for him. On the move again, Gutierrez. Gaston, the throw down, the tag, not in time. Hand just got in for Gutierrez. Often had to kind of bring that glove up to reel in the throw. Gutierrez dove right beneath it. So an RBI chance with nobody out for Miguel Villarreal. Taylor looks at second, now comes home with a breaking ball, and it's skied out to center field. Zach Cole sizes it up, calls off the left fielder, but Espinosa runs into him, tagging, and the throw gets a wide of Cruz at third. Gutierrez in there safely, and Espinosa is shaken up out and left.
Yeah, it looks like he might have collided knees or shins with Cole when they came together. He got hit in the upper thigh or something like that, because he was on his feet for a moment and then he fell down as Cole was starting to throw in. So I have the wind knocked out of him, but Ricky and Jennifer Bardales going out there to check up on him.
So it's an F8. Gutierrez advancing to third base, 90 feet away. And hopefully nothing too serious for Espinosa, who's now up to a knee. It seemed like Cole was underneath that ball when he made that catch. I don't know if they communicated that, though, out in left center field. Hence the collision. They continue to work on Espinosa out there, and again, hopefully nothing too serious. So now if you're Taylor, obviously you want to stay loose during this pause in play, but he also is nearing the end of his rope as far as pitch count goes. So
yeah, we saw Brian Perez warming up in the first inning when Taylor had that long pitch count going, and he was warming up again during the last half inning, so he's probably the guy scheduled to come in behind him. Good sign is Espinosa seems to be okay, and Taylor will just try and keep warm here.
Just threw one pitch and he appears to be ready to go. Espinosa will remain in the ball game. So that puts a runner at third with one down. Cam Colley, who doubled in his first at bat, has a chance to pad the 1-0 lead for the Wood Ducks. Fayetteville will bring the infield in. Try to get Gutierrez at the plate. Time is called, and it was by Colley. Colley, still just 20 years old, and he hits one down the right field line, foul. He was taken out of high school in the third round of the 2021 draft, a similar path as Tyler Whitaker was taken in that round. He was Houston's first pick that year. Colley coming out of Mont Bellevue, Texas. Barbers Hill High School. Hits one on the ground. A sliding play by Encarnacion. He flips to the bag, but Taylor couldn't get there in time. Too much speed from Colley. Meanwhile, at third base, Gutierrez held up. So that'll put runners at the corners. and with one down. Really strange plays. Encarnacion had to move to his right, came off the bag. Colley recognizing that, sprinted to first base, and Taylor couldn't get to the bag in time. And that will be the last play that Andrew Taylor is a part of tonight. Manager Ricky Rivera makes his way out to the mound. Motions to the bullpen. We believe it'll be Brian Perez who will take over. And that looks like him coming in from the left field bullpen. So 69 pitches for Taylor is enough. 3 1/3 innings pitched. He is responsible for both runners at the corners. One down at the top of the fourth inning. Wood Ducks lead it 1-0. We'll tell you more about Perez when we come back.
She's got a love like whoa. Girl's got a love like whoa. I kind of feel like it don't make sense. Cause you're bringing me in and now you're kicking me out again. So strong, but then you moves on. And I'm hung up in suspense. Because you're bringing me in and then you're kicking me out again.
We only have one life. The timing and the moment all seems so.
This Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Services. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 37, Ryan Perez.
Steps in for Down East. Big RBI opportunity. Runners at the corners and only one out. Top of the fourth inning. His team up a run. And on the mound now for the Fayetteville Woodpeckers, right-hander Brian Perez, the Dominican-born right-hander. Immediately on the move is Colley. Throw down not in time, so that puts two in scoring position as Colley wasn't successful the first time. He tried to swipe a bag back in the second. This time he is. Perez makes his fourth appearance of the season, his first in 6 days, all of them in relief. Formerly pitched at Cal State Bakersfield back in 2020 before he signed a free agent contract with the Astros a year later. Blackman takes ball one. On the year, Perez, no record, an 11.57 earned run average in 2 1/3 innings pitched. Trying to reel in that command. Four walks to just one strikeout. He's ahead here on Blackman. 1-2. Perez spent the last 2 years in the Florida Complex League with the Astros and put up some solid numbers. Last year, a 2.92 earned run average in 17 games, all in relief. So he's capable of pitching his way out of trouble. Of course, both runners, though, belonging to Taylor. Backdoor slider just outside.
With that sidearm delivery that Perez has, he can really start that breaking ball, that slider off the outside of the plate, get it to cut in. Just missed.
2-2. A very late swing, and Blackman is down on strikes. It would have been strike three called, and just as a formality, Blackman waved the bat. Big out number two for Perez and the Woodpeckers. Daniel Cueva will try to bring in that insurance run or runs. Ball one misses high. Anthony Gutierrez led off with a single against Taylor. He stands at third, Cauley at second. The half swing looked more like self-defense from Cueva as that pitch ran in on him, fouls it off. Gastone hands Perez a new ball. Cueva, just 18 years old, turns 19 in May. Los Guayos, Venezuela. Takes a swing and fouls it towards the Fayetteville on deck circle. This is the third year for Cueva in the Rangers system. Played in the Dominican Summer League as a 17-year-old in 2021. He played five games last year with the Wood Ducks. He swings and misses for strike three. How about Brian Perez? Comes in, couple runners in scoring position, no problem. Strikes out Blackman and Cueva, and no damage done. That closes the book on Andrew Taylor, and it closes the book on the top of the fourth inning. Bottom half coming up next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Always a good time here in the park to learn about your friends and neighbors. It's time for Peckers in the Park. I'm here with the Baker Motorsports boys. It's time for a little game or this or that. What state has the best barbecue in the entire country?
Texas.
You're wrong. It's North Carolina. Bojangles, Chick-fil-A, or Popeyes?
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A, man. Wolfpack, Blue Devils, or Tar Heels?
Syracuse Orangemen. Syracuse Orangemen.
Syracuse Orangemen? What is that? Star Trek or Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Finally, a correct answer. Good Lord. You're going to commit a crime. Who's going to be your accomplice?
This guy right here behind me, Steven.
Very well done. You're about to become a vampire. Who are you biting first?
I don't know. That depends.
It depends on who you're biting first. All right. On three, everybody from Baker's Motorsports, give me a big go Peckers. One, two, three.
Go Peckers!
That's right.
On the mound for the Wood Ducks, Joseph Montalvo. Leading off the bottom of the fourth inning for the Woodpeckers, the center fielder, number six, Zach Cole.
Heart of the Fayetteville lineup due up in the bottom of the fourth inning. Zach Cole, Sandro Gastone, and Luis Encarnacion trying to solve Joseph Montalvo, who has been lights out on the mound in his first start of the season. Pitch to Cole. Takes a big swing and a miss. Cole struck out swinging his first time up. Down 0-2 against Montalvo. That is a called strike three outside corner. His location has been phenomenal to begin this ball game, and he quickly retires Cole to start the bottom of the fourth. Strikeout number five. Bring up Gastone. Flew out to center field, hit one sharply to begin the bottom of the second inning. And he hits this one well to center field, but again, it will hang up, and Gutierrez makes the catch. Round number two, so twice now. Altanque has sent one into center field, and balls just died on him. Talvo, mentioned before, out of Central Point Christian Academy in Kissimmee, is big swing by Luis Encarnacion, comes up empty. He's not the first guy to come out of that school. He's one of two. The other was Justin Tejada, 22-year-old, as this one hit on the ground up the middle. Tough play. The throw is in time, and it's a quick 1-2-3 inning for Joseph Montalvo. Just to finish up that point, Tejada, ironically enough, also a signee with Texas Rangers a couple of years ago. We played four full from Segra Stadium. Wood Ducks lead at 1-0 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
It's time to sing happy birthday. Come on down here, sweetheart. Come here. Whose birthday is it? Come on, sweetheart. What's your name, baby?
Olivia.
Olivia, how old are you today?
14.
14. Everybody in Segra Stadium right now, you're singing to Olivia. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Come on! To you. Olivia, look in that camera up there and give me a big go Peckers.
Go Woodpeckers.
That's right.
There's not a better place to celebrate your birthday than at a Woodpeckers game. All birthday parties come with a birthday cake courtesy of Bernie's Sweets and More. Contact the Woodpeckers front office to schedule your birthday right here at Segra Stadium. Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Service. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 44, Michael Knorr. Off the top of the fifth inning for the Wood Ducks, the right fielder, number 11, Yason Morabell.
Yason Morabell leads off the fifth inning, and he will do so against a new arm on the mound. It is right-hander Michael Knorr, the third-round pick from last year's draft. And to take over on the play-by-play and tell you about him, here's Andrew Chapman.
All right, thanks, Colin. Former Coastal Carolina Chanticleer. And right as the first pitch comes home, Michael Knorr will be hit with a pitch clock violation before he was ready. And now Ricky Rivera out of the top step of the dugout. So Ricky was asking for a clarification on it. Michael Knorr's asking for a baseball because he didn't have anything in his hand. And now we're just about ready to start after some pre-inning antics and Morabell in a 1-0 count. So Michael Knorr, 1-0 record, a very impressive 1.13 ERA to start the year. Here's a chopper hit along first. It's a fair ball. It was fielded on the foul side of the line, but Encarnacion will secure it, take it to the bag, and it's a three unassisted, and that's not going to draw an argument out of Down East. It seemed like it might have crossed over the bag in fair territory, Colin, but it was pulled in by Encarnacion with both his feet on the foul side of the line. So one of those tough balls to judge, but it was home plate umpire Michael Corbett right on top of it.
Chap, I got a great view of it. That ball looked foul to me.
I was thinking so as well. And there wasn't much argument out of Morabell or the manager coaching third. So one out for Michael Knorr. Brian Perez did an admirable job coming in, getting a pair of strikeouts in the fourth and keeping this game at 1-0. Got Blackman and Cueva swinging a straight two in scoring position. Ian Mohler's given this ball game its only run. He swings through a low fastball. 1-1. He hit a solo home run over the left field bullpens in the top of the first. Was his first home run of the year. And the pitch is a fastball strike. So 1-2 on Mueller. Michael Knorr upright in the set, kicks, pitches. It's down and inside. Flashing 97 on the home radar gun with that fastball.
I think he hit 98 was his high in his first appearance at home, so he can really flash it up there.
The 2-2 is skied shallow towards the right side of the infield. Jackson Lofton over, gives way to the first baseman Encarnacion. Secures with two hands, and there's two away.
We'll go back to last inning quickly. How about the job that Brian Perez did to get out of that jam? Couple runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
You know, your job is just to get out of the inning, and he did it to perfection. A couple of big-time knockout pitches. And then all of a sudden, that's a big jolt into your dugout, whether it be offense or Knorr who's coming in, realizing, hey, we're still right there in this ball game despite not getting off to a great start at the plate.
First pitch to Abby Ortiz, a changeup, called strike one. Knorr put it right on the low outside corner to the lefty. Next pitch. There's a big sweeping curveball that gets him to cut over top. And when scouts are in the park, they watch Knorr carefully. There's a lot of admirable qualities that some of the scouts like about Michael when he goes up there. You can see four or five of them crowded around behind home plate. And here comes the 0-2. A chopper left side. Sitting back on it is Cruz. Shifted over towards short. He fields, throws to first. And how about Encarnacion with the stretch? Almost went into a full split as he reels in that long throw, and it's a 1-2-3 inning for Michael Knorr, using his defense behind him. And we're halfway through it tonight. Still one-run game, 1-0 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
For the Wood Ducks, Joseph Montalvo. Leading off the bottom of the fifth inning for the Woodpeckers, the designated hitter, number 16, Dory Lorenzo.
Dory Lorenzo leads off the home fifth inning, swings at the first pitch, pops it up along the left field line. It'll tail foul onto the warning track. And it's 0-1. We're in a 1-0 ball game. Downey starter Joseph Montalvo has had it working today. Four scoreless innings for the right-hander, and he's struck out five Woodpeckers, given up just one walk, and has allowed just one base hit, a grounder single into center field from Luis Encarnacion back in the second inning.
Lorenzo picking up some new lumber. I think he caught that one right off the end of the bat. Ended up cracking that piece of wood, so he gets a new one.
Here's the wind kick, the 0-1. And Lorenzo takes it low. One ball and one strike. Dari struck out swinging against Montalvo in the second inning. Peers over that glove, nods the head, kicks and pitches. And a fastball is just outside.
It's been a reliable bat in the middle of the order. I think the one thing that this coaching staff wants to see a bit more from Dari is a couple more extra base hits here and there.
Yeah, and that's a well-hit ball to right. Morabel back on it to the start of the track, and Segra Stadium will hold it. It's a flyout. We did see him with a little bit of power to the pole side in Columbia, hitting some of those deep fly balls. A couple times he went to the warning track. He pulled the line drive into right for a base hit. So now Leo Stanley Molina. And he reaches out in front of a slider for strike one. Montalvo has crossed the 50 pitch mark now. It was pitch number 52 of his night. Working quick. Here it comes, the 0-1. And Molina chases at a changeup. So all off speed against the Fayetteville shortstop.
Montalvo hit 73 in his last outing, so he's still got a lot of room to work with, and he's already into the fifth inning.
Here's the no-ball, two-strike pitch. And Molina waves at a slider to the outside. Three straight breaking balls. Well, two sliders, changeup should say. Three straight off-speed pitches. And that is the sixth strikeout picked up by Montalvo. So now Jackson Lofton. Two away, bases empty. 1-0 down east in the series opener. And the first pitch to Lofton is drilled center field. Gutierrez back on it. Before the track, he has room to make an over-the-shoulder catch. A couple of deep fly balls in the inning. They die before the warning track. And that'll end a 1-2-3 frame. Five shutout innings for Montalvo. It's 1-0. Woody's going to the sixth.
Fans, at this time, we'd like to recognize tonight's Methodist University hometown hero, Specialist Dominic Sesso. Specialist Sesso is assigned to Charlie Battery in the 327th Field Artillery Regiment. He was born and raised in Syracuse, New York, and in 2015 joined the Marine Corps. During his time in the Marines, he was stationed in Okinawa, Japan, and Darwin, Australia. In 2022, Specialist Sesso joined the Army and has been at Fort Bragg ever since. Fans, let's hear it for Specialist Dominic Sesso. Thank you for your service.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Michael Knorr. Leading off the top of the sixth inning for the Wood Ducks, the designated hitter, number 28, Yossi Galan.
Michael Knorr getting ready to face the 4, 5, and 6 of the Down East order. 1-0 ball game. And the first pitch to Yossi Galan turns to a long swing and a chase on a low breaking ball. 0-1, Michael Knorr came on in the fifth, got a ground out. Pop out to first and then a ground out to third. Here's his 0-1. And Galan checks the swing. Did he go? No, he did not. One ball and one strike. Galan up for a third time has popped out to short and also lined out.
Now they're saying he did go.
Oh, it looked like the base umpire, Michael Corbett, said he didn't go, but he said it'll be 0-2 now. Might have been overruled by Chris Jahnke. The no-ball, two-strike pitch and a grounder foul left side.
It's been a strange start to this series for this umpiring crew. A lot of strange positions they've been put in, whether it be a foul ball or a lot of check swings. And I think so far they're not too popular in either dugout.
A couple of pitch clock violations on hitters already to this point as well. The 0-2 down and outside. So one ball and two strikes. Andrew Taylor went the first 3 1/3. Departed in a tough spot with two on, one out in the fourth. A stolen base got Cam Cawley into scoring position. Anthony Gutierrez was on third, but Brian Perez with two of the biggest strikeouts of the night so far that killed off that late rally and kept this at a one-run game. The pitch to Gallon down in the dirt, and it's now 2-2.
Man, that stat line for Taylor not looking as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, Brian Perez really helped out his starter. Taylor, who gives up just the one run on the Ian Moeller home run. He was the second batter of the game, and it's still the only run of this game. Gallon chops it foul. Stay at 2-2.
The pitching staff's done its job tonight, even though Taylor had to really grind for those 3 1/3 innings pitched. 1-0 game. You just got to hope your offense is able to solve a very talented Down East Wood Ducks pitching staff on the other side.
Next pitch to Gallon, pulled down the left field line towards the dirt. It lands just foul. Home plate umpire Chris Janke watching that foul line from home plate. And Gallon just barely left it to the left side of that chalk line that extends down the dirt of the warning track.
And there's only about 5 feet of room down that line, so not a whole lot of area to land in where it would be foul, but sure enough, Gallon did find that section of the diamond.
Yosi Gallon with 20 home runs last season with Down East, over 98 games. Tonight is his 99th game in the Carolina League, and he chops it foul. Stay where it is, 2-2. In total, he has 22 home runs in the Carolina League over those 98 games, or 99 including tonight. He's driven in 64 runs over his Carolina League career. A lot of strikeouts. Fastball very far outside, runs to the screen, 3-2. A total of 151 strikeouts over 376 at-bats. 3-2 payoff. A check swing on a slider to the outside. Did he go? They appealed. No. And Yosi Gallon draws a leadoff base on ball.
See those Wood Ducks drive those that pitch count up again. Did it to Taylor. Now long plate appearance for Gallon against Michael Knorr. Ends up fighting all the way back. Down 0-2. Fouled off a couple of pitches down 0-2. Still manages to get on via walk. And he's got speed over at first.
Now it's Anthony Gutierrez. And the first pitch is very high. 95-mile-per-hour fastball. And they will call Michael Knorr for a balk.
Not sure what for. Maybe he didn't come set. The Fayetteville dugout not happy with the explanation they got.
Well, it's the first time that Knorr has had to work with a runner on, so perhaps he sped himself up a little bit. Looked like there was a little bit of a set there. Certainly wasn't his longest set, but I thought I saw a brief pause. Now Anthony Gutierrez ready for the first official pitch, and he swings through a breaking ball. Good slider by Knorr. Off of second, Yosi Gallon reaching back that way, now breaking to third. Slider misses outside. Gastone lost it on the transfer. And Gallon swipes third base.
That's how big that balk ends up being. Gallon, as I mentioned before, has got some pretty good speed. Got a big secondary lead, big jump. Gastone had to reach back across to try to throw. Ball popped out of his mitt anyways, and now that'll prompt Fayetteville to bring their infield in again.
One ball, one strike pitch, cracked deep to left center field. Cole angling to his right, makes the catch in front of the track, and that'll be deep enough to score the run. Yosi Gallon strides home, and it's 2-0 Down East.
Been impressed with Gutierrez tonight. He threw a lengthy walk his first time up and ripped one straight into left field in the first pitch he saw in the fourth inning. And now, realized the situation, fly ball, less than two outs, brings in a run, does just that, and doubles his team's lead.
So here's Miguel Villarreal. And the first pitch to him is a knee-high slider for strike one. 0-1 is swung on down in the dirt. That'll put it to 0-2 on Villarreal. Strikeout and a flyout to center today for the Down East third baseman. Off of that first base line is Encarnacion. And a tapper right at the plate. That'll trickle foul into the left-handed batter's box. New series beginning all around the Carolina League today. Slider down and outside. The third set of six-game series league-wide after the opening weekend, the three-game series that everybody started the season with. One ball, two-strike pitch down and away. And it's 2-2. Kannapolis and Carolina are playing out at Five County Stadium. And the Mudcats lead that game 3-2 in the bottom of the sixth. Lynchburg blown out Fredericksburg early 7-0. There's a ground ball pulled left side. Scooped with two hands by Cruz. Throw across is in time. And Miguel Villarreal goes down. We'll bring up Cam Cawley. 2-0 Wood Ducks off of the sacrifice fly from Anthony Gutierrez. Cawley, strong start to the day, 2-for-2 with a double and a single. First pitch from Michael Knorr. It is taken up and outside for ball one. And now the 1-0 pitch. This is Chop, back to third. Cruz picks on a short hop, throws low to first, and it gets by Encarnacion. Cawley is trying to stretch to second. Here comes the throw that way. It's a one-hopper and no tag applied. So Cam Cawley is in there on the high chop. Forced a quick throw out of Narbe Cruz, and it'll be an E5 to put him on.
I'll tell you what. Cam Cawley did not hesitate the second he got to that first base bag. Had he taken an extra second, he would have been out on the throw because the ball didn't end up in the dugout. It was a quick recovery by Encarnacion at first, but not quick enough because Cawley's got that blazing speed. And once he's able to kind of make that commitment to second base, you know he's got a good chance of beating that throw, and sure enough, he did just that.
The new hitter is JoJo Blackman. He struck out in a big spot back in the fourth inning with two in scoring position and one out. Also a fly out to center today for Blackman, the eight hitter. There's a fastball, looked pretty good just outside for Knorr. Brings that pitch clock down to 4 seconds, delivers home, and a changeup misses downstairs. So a two-ball count on Blackman. Down East is added to their lead with a sac fly in this sixth inning. Three balls, no strikes, rather. Now to Blackman. Pitch is up and away. Ball four. Oh, and they just called Knorr for another balk. And now Ricky's coming out to talk about this.
He's being warned to go back into the
and
dugout.
Now you're letting him go out there and talk to Corbett about it. You know, Ricky's been vocal about some of the pitch clock violations today, and now the back-to-back box on Knorr. And it clearly seems to be the set that's drawing that balk out of Michael, and at least from what the indication is from Corbett. That was kind of how Ricky was bringing his hands down, trying to say that his pitcher was coming set, but yeah, Corbett wouldn't even let. I have a feeling that if Ricky took a few more steps towards that mound there, he was going to get the old heave-ho based on Michael Corbett's insistence that he stay back towards the dugout. 3-0 pitch, and rather first pitch. Okay, so no, they didn't count the last pitch, yep, so it was a 3-0 pitch strike on the outside corner.
You'd think Corbett maybe explained to Knorr why he's being called for a balk instead of picking fights with the dugout.
I would say Knorr has that right to ask the umpire. Swing and a miss on a high fastball gets it to 3-2. Perhaps Knorr just trying to focus in on the hitter and ignore the outside stuff. Ready for the payoff pitch. It's a down and inside slider for ball four. And the second walk issued this inning by Knorr to put runners on the corners.
We're seeing the first real adversity from both Taylor and Knorr tonight that they've had all season. And Taylor's credit, he worked around it about as well as he could have with all the pitching. With all the pitches he had to throw in the early going, able to go 3 1/3. So now we'll see what Michael Knorr is made of in these situations. He does already have two outs, so he can simply focus on the task at hand, which is the nine-hitter in Cueva.
First pitch to Cueva. Just off the high outside corner. Two nothing down east with runners on the corners. And here's the pitch from Knorr with the runner on the move to second. Gastone will look to second, look to third, but keep the ball. No throw. And there's two in scoring position.
Seen a really aggressive approach on the base pass for down east, which is a little bit surprising considering they're in the bottom half of stolen bases coming into this week across the Carolina League.
Here's the two ball, no strike pitch. And a swing from Cueva, a miss and a change. It is 2-1. Myrtle Beach is hosting, Charleston is hosting Myrtle Beach this week at the Joe. And it's 1-0 in the bottom of the third between a couple of teams who battled it out at the top of the South a year ago. Another change up from Knorr, and he gets another swing and miss.
And they called him for another one.
Wow, he just got hit for another balk. A third balk, and this time it'll bring a run home.
This is unbelievable.
I have never seen this. Three balks called against a guy in one inning.
Didn't get called for a single one in his first two outings. All of a sudden,
yeah,
he gets called for three.
And Ricky yelling from the top step of that dugout. Probably, you know, if he leaves the dugout at this stage, probably will get the hook. 3-0 now off the balk. A pulled grounder. Right side foul. So 2-2 on Cueva. Yeah, I'm a little surprised that Knorr hasn't actively asked the base umpire as to what he's doing wrong. He's kind of letting his manager do the talking for him, but I would just ask directly, you know, how obvious do I need to make this set look? 2-2. And a swing and a miss on a breaking ball. Michael Knorr gets out of it, but he gives up a pair of runs, one on a sack fly, another on a balk. Three balks called against him in the inning. And we'll head to the bottom of the sixth. Down East is added on. 3-0 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam.
Our love is a curious thing.
Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam.
To a little white dove. More than a feeling, that's the power of love. Tough than diamonds, rich like cream. Stronger than harder.
Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam.
That's the power of love.
Cam. Kiss Cam. On the mound for the Wood Ducks, Joseph Montalvo. Leading off the bottom of the sixth inning.
Bottom of the sixth inning, and a pitch clock violation will be called on Rolando Espinoza to begin the bottom of the sixth. So he'll start in an 0-1 count, and the first pitch to him from the right-handed starter, Joseph Montalvo, is inside for ball one. The umpires have become the story of this sixth inning with the pitch clock violations we've seen today. Every single one's been on the hitters. We've seen three in total, two from Down East, one from Fayetteville. A swing and miss from Espinoza. It's 1-2. He'll call for time now, step out and try and regather. And then three balks called by base umpire Michael Corbett against Michael Knorr. Fly ball out to left. This is well hit. Blackman back on it, but room in front of the track. He makes the catch, one away. Ricky Rivera during that half inning, he wasn't able to get much of a word in while the game was going, but in between the half inning break, he went out there and had about a minute long conversation with Chris Clark, the plate umpire, just trying to get a clarification on the set and what Knorr was doing wrong, so perhaps he can deliver the message to his reliever. Ryan Clifford now at the top of the order takes low for ball one.
Again, I just find it hard to believe that Knorr's been doing anything different tonight that he did in his first two outings that would prompt him to consistently be called for a balk.
Yeah, and it happens once. Usually you make the correction. It happens twice. You say, well, I know what I'm doing wrong now, but a third time you hardly ever see that in one single inning. 2-0. High to Clifford. Three balls and no strikes. Three nothing Down East. Out hitting Fayetteville 5-1 tonight. Only base hit, a Luis Encarnacion single. Clifford takes it low. And despite being without a hit tonight, Clifford finding other ways to get on. He's walked twice now. Two walks given up by Montalvo, and they've both been against Clifford. And sometimes that's not a coincidence, you know. They know that Clifford has a good eye. They know that he can hit.
Right.
And I think if you're Montalvo, you're pitching those corners a little bit. You're trying to work it outside of the zone, and Ryan Clifford with a good enough eye to lay off. Narbe Cruz takes strike one on a 92-mile-per-hour fastball. The no ball, one strike pitch. Cruz swings, hits a fly to right center. Gutierrez, Morabel coming together. It is Gutierrez, the center fielder, making the catch in the right center field alleyway. Seen a lot of deep fly balls in the last couple of innings. Pretty solid contact being put on the baseball by Dari Lorenzo, Jackson Lofton, now Narbe Cruz. Everything falling just a little bit short tonight, though. Two out, Zach Cole up. First pitch to Cole is low. He struck out twice tonight, 0 for 2. Clifford off of first. The set by Montalvo and pitch. Fastball called, strike two, right at the top of the zone. Shortstop Cueva towards the middle. Cole swings, pulls it right to Cam Colley. He'll collect, throw to first, and the inning is over. So Fayetteville gets another man on. Clifford walks a second time, but they leave him stranded. Woodpeckers have left three runners on tonight over six scoreless innings, and it's 3-0 going to the seventh.
Serve this community's legal needs for over 42 years and have now expanded to cover the Carolinas. For all of your civil legal needs, Hutchins Law Firm can help.
As a dedicated partner of the Woodpeckers over the last 5 years, Hutchins and the Woodpeckers would like to recognize the Hutchins Law Firm High Performance Season Ticket Holder of the Game, Wendy Sibley.
If it's a car you lack,
there she is, cool as a fan.
Cadillac, whatever you need, any time of the day or night. I'm not ashamed to say, I hope it always will stay this way. My hat is off, won't you stand up and take a bow?
Fans, it's time to recognize tonight's nonprofit of the night. Please welcome the Armed Services YMCA of Fort Bragg. For more information on how you can become nonprofit of the night, visit our fan information table on the concourse. Wave some more. We can't see you. Wave. There you go. On the mound for the Woodpeckers, Michael Knorr.
The Wood Ducks have a 3-0 lead in this series opener in Fayetteville. Michael Knorr, who committed 3 balks in that 6th inning, trying to correct here in the 7th, and had to take you through the play-by-play in the 7th and the 8th. Let's send it back to Colin.
Thank you so much, Andrew. A swing and a miss by Morbell, who was led off in all 3 of his all 4 now of his plate appearances tonight. Takes a big swing at the pitch from Knorr, 0-1. Knorr able to work at his own pace with nobody on. Breaking ball called strike 2, and he's been called for 3 balks tonight. The first Fayetteville Woodpecker to do so in almost 4 years now. The 0-2 just outside. Last Woodpecker to do it, it was Johan Ramirez on the road against the Carolina Mudcats on May 7th, 2019. Those were 3 separate innings, though. Knorr called for 3 in 1 inning as that one roped on the ground out towards the tarp, foul. This will be pitch number 45 for Knorr. The 1-2. Hit on the ground right side and past the slide of Encarnacion into right field. Once again, down east with the leadoff man on. It's time to begin the 7th. Third time Morbell has reached.
Well, the good thing about Michael Knorr, even despite those balks and everything, and a couple of walks, is that he wasn't putting much in a hittable location. He was avoiding the base hits. First time through the order, it's the first hit he's allowed. But this is what happened last time. He gave up that leadoff base runner, and then he sped up, so we think, and committed those balks.
Ian Moeller takes strike 1, and the thing is with all 3 of them, Chappie, we've been watching, and we haven't really noticed just what the cause of it is, whether he came set, whether it's some sort of movement as he comes set. It hasn't been evident as to what that balk is. Pitch misses up and in, but we have to imagine it's the same exact motion every time that has led to field umpire Michael Corbett calling that balk on Knorr. Moeller 1-for-3 tonight with a home run and a pair of pop-outs. And he flares this one foul right over the Woodpeckers' dugout.
Yeah, I mean, just watching him repeatedly come set. He works exclusively out of the set, too, so usually, you know, his timing is pretty succinct. He picks up that left foot a little bit once he comes set. You can see it right there. I mean, if you're still moving that foot a little bit, even when the hands are still, they might call you, but seems to be coming set fine now.
Foul tip held onto by Gastone, and Moeller strikes out. So Knorr picks up his 2nd punch out of the ball game. One down, Abby Ortiz digs in. Ortiz, 1-for-3, a single in the first. He has since struck out and grounded out. He's way out in front of the changeup. Three runs on 6 hits tonight for Down East. Ortiz chops it up the line. It's foul. No runs on just 1 hit for the Woodpeckers. It was a single from Luis Encarnacion back in the second. Woodpeckers just still trying to capture that magic they had throughout over the course of the first 8 games of the season offensively. Backdoor breaking ball, misses outside, and Knorr trying to figure out if it was outside. He motioned and got a nod now from the home plate umpire. I think across the entire Woodpeckers roster, patience starting to wear thin with this two-man umpiring crew. The 1-2. This is down and away. I think Knorr just genuinely curious as to if that pitch was outside or not.
Yeah, well, against the lefty there, he wants to be able to backdoor the slider if he can and wants to have an idea of where that border of the zone is.
Here comes the 2-2. That breaking ball misses outside again. So that fills the count. And Knorr trying to battle through what's been a frustrating outing, to say the least, for him. The 3-2 with one out. Runner on the move. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. Gaston fires it down. The tag placed on. Not in time. In there safely was Morabel. So that'll put a runner in scoring position, but with 2 down. Back-to-back punch-outs for Knorr. 3 on the night.
You know, back in that sixth inning when Knorr committed those balks, we were wondering why he wasn't talking directly to the base umpire and asking what he was doing wrong. But you get the sense that he's just a guy that, yeah, he didn't get his pitch earlier in the at-bat. Zone might not be what he likes, but he's focusing on the next one, and he's gotten back-to-back strikeouts now. So that's tunnel vision, and it's what you need to compete on the mound.
He gets Yosi Gallon to foul off first pitch of the at-bat. Another stolen base for the Wood Ducks. They have been running wild this evening. That's now 5 as a team. I believe the most that Fayetteville surrendered on the season so far in a single game, still with plenty of time left. Gallon out in front, falls behind, nothing and 2.
Well, you're used to guys running being in Columbia. They're a team that plays small ball and has a lot of speed, and they were often moving just about every base runner, so more of the same this week.
Down East has been caught twice, however, so it has come at a price. Flared in the left field. It'll drop for a base hit. Morabel round third. Espinosa comes gunning to the plate. Fielded on a hop. Not cleanly, though, by Gaston. Wouldn't have been in time anyways. And it's an RBI single to pad the Down East Wood Ducks lead for Yosi Gallon. 4-0 now. Gallon was way out in front of the breaking ball, but just hooked it into the grass out and left. He is able to cruise into second on the throw. Here's Anthony Gutierrez trying to continue. It's been a great game for him. A walk, a single, and a sacrifice fly through 3 trips. 18-year-old with a check swing. This one will fall quickly. Encarnacion can't get there, but it lands about 6 inches foul. And it did not touch Encarnacion's glove. Knorr fires a baseball towards the dugout after getting a fresh one. He'll be throwing his 60th pitch of the night. No one to Gutierrez. hit hard on the ground. A dive past Cruz and past the dive of Molina as well. They send the runner home. The throw in by Espinosa up the line. Gastone throws late to second. But Anthony Gutierrez takes the extra base. He's got his second RBI of the game. He has reached in all four trips to the plate. And Down East now takes a 5-0 advantage. This Wood Ducks offense has been pretty pedestrian to start the year. Second to last in the league in runs scored. Dead last in on-base percentage, but they have found a spark as they've made the trip just down the road to Fayetteville. Way out in front on the first pitch is Miguel Villarreal. Against the top pairing, really, of this Woodpeckers rotation. Got to tip your cap to Down East. We've been struggling as of late. Villarreal out in front. Gastone throws down to second. Lofton's tag late as Gutierrez is back. That's kind of how it goes in the Carolina League. You never know when one team's going to break out offensively. I'd say the same for Fayetteville after the 1-1 start to their season against the Carolina Mudcats. And then they just exploded against the Fred Nats in that first six-game home series, taking 5-6. There's a chopper to short. Molina fields it in between hops, throws on a run, and it is in time to end the inning. Not before a couple more come across, three more, in fact, as the, pardon me, two more come across the score as it's now 5-0 lead for Down East. We had a seventh inning stretch at Segra Stadium. You're tuned in right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Last call. Last call for alcohol. All right, fans, it's time for the seventh inning stretch. Get up on your feet and help us sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Woodpeckers. Sing it loud. At the old. Atta boy, Peckers. Atta boy.
Bottom of the seventh in Fayetteville, just looking for something offensively. They have been shut down by the Down East Wood Ducks in this series opener. 5-0 the score is Sandro Gastone. Fouls one off of his foot in the at-bat. New arm on the mound is right-hander Luis Ramirez. First one out of the pen for Down East tonight. Ramirez, seventh round draft pick out of Long Beach State out in California, taken in last year's draft. Didn't miss by much there. What a performance it was for Joseph Montalvo. Six innings, no runs, one hit. A quality start for Montalvo. Walked two and struck out half a dozen. Chopped on the ground by Gastone. Passed his manager, Ricky Rivera, down in the third base coaching box. Ramirez appeared in two games last year after or has appeared in two games this year, I should say. 0-1 with a 6.75 earned run average in 2 2/3 innings pitched. 2-2 on Gastone. He spent 2 years at Long Beach State. 3 years at Long Beach State. Filed an 8-5 record there with a 3.38 earned run average. Gastone stays alive. Also spent summer of 2021 with the Yarmouth Dennis Red Sox in the Cape Cod Baseball League. Put together a 3.10 earned run average there. He started all 6 games he pitched in the Cape. 2-2. Check swing and Gastone able to hold up. Took a handful of plate appearances as well. As Gastone with a swing and a miss. And he is retired to begin the bottom of the 7th. A couple of flyouts for Sandro now. He can add a strikeout to it as well. Saw Fayetteville get shut out on the road last week against Columbia. That final score was 7-0. Looking to avoid that fate for the second time in less than a week. Luis Encarnacion, who has the lone hit tonight for Fayetteville, takes ball one. Encarnacion now at 208 on the year as Ramirez deals. Chops this one up the middle, charging, played with a hand by Cueva, and he throws in time for out number 2. Wood Ducks have gotten some outstanding defense from their middle infield today between Daniel Cueva and Cam Cauley. They have patrolled between first and third very well and have not allowed anything to get through their grasp.
Yeah, they have. The outfield has taken good angles on deep fly balls. It's helped their pitching staff along the way for sure.
Dari Lorenzo golfs at the first pitch. Can't make contact. Dari tonight, a strikeout and a flyout. Still a lot of these guys batting for just the third time tonight here in the 7th inning. Haven't said that too much. Certainly haven't said it in this ballpark at all this year. 1-1. Fayetteville entering tonight in a tie for 2nd Carolina League South Division. With Columbia winning their game earlier today, they came in at 8-6, so a loss for the Woodpeckers would drop them a half game behind the team that took 4 of 6 from them last week. Annapolis, though, losing to Carolina, so they wouldn't lose any ground on first place as Lorenzo swings and misses strike 3, and Luis Ramirez picking up right where Joseph Montalvo left off. Tires the Fayetteville side in order. We go on to the 8th, still a 5-0 lead for Down East at Segra.
Let's get sizzling.
On the mound for the Woodpeckers, Michael Moore.
coming to the plate at the top of the inning for the Wood Ducks. The second baseman.
Cam Colley bats for the fourth time tonight. Down east, six outs away from securing a series opening victory against the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. And Colley swings the first pitch, sends it down the right field line, out of play. Just one hit through seven innings for Fayetteville. We talked before the game about how strong Down East's pitching staff is. Came in today with the second best ERA in the Carolina League. They are legit. As Gaston takes a foul tip right off the mask. No balls, two strikes the count.
Yeah, that one got him flush. Usually there's a certain sound the baseball makes hitting the catcher's mask where an umpire just knows to give him some time to go out to the mound, hand deliver a new baseball.
Seen Gaston catch the bulk of the game so far this year. Seems like he's behind the plate for about two out of every three. When he's not behind the plate, he'll be over at first base or the DH. Big time bat in the Woodpeckers lineup. Knorr gets a swing and a miss, and Colley tagged out. Michael Knorr starting to get that strikeout pitch working. He now has four on the night. And he's able to retire the Down East 7 hitter to begin this eighth. JoJo Blackman will bat. Train crawling along, CSX Freight. Out along the outfield. Some poor soul stuck behind that one trying to drive along Hay Street right now.
Oh, yeah.
JoJo Blackman takes ball one. Good news is, and I think a lot of people forget that, there's an alternate route that you can take as long as you're not blocked in from both sides, as Knorr misses just upstairs. You can always just go on the other side of the tracks, yeah, back the way you were coming from, and take the bridge over, which can be seen at Segra Stadium way out in the distance beyond left field. 2-1.
I'm amazed by how many people just wait at the train crossing when right. A giant train is sitting there. Just hook a Yui, go the other way. It'll only cost you a couple minutes. Come on.
Yeah, sometimes that train will stay put for upwards of 20 minutes. There's a called strike on Blackman.
You got places to be, people to see. Can't be waiting for the train.
And that one now parked out in right center field, right on cue. Outside ball four, and Blackman draws a base on balls. It's a third walk surrendered by Michael Knorr, and it will be his last one. Out to the mound goes Ricky Rivera, and he'll take the ball from Knorr. Definitely a frustrating outing for him. Ends up surrendering a total of four runs. And with one out in the eighth inning, get a pitching change for Fayetteville. We'll tell you about it when we come back on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. And long neck eyes go big, never broke my heart. She was a Carolina blue jean baby, fire in her eyes that drove me crazy. It was red tail lights when she left town. If I didn't know then, I sure know now. But long
This Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Service. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 28, Marshall Hunt.
In the eyes of a ranger, the unsuspecting stranger had better know the truth of wrong from right. 'Cause the eyes of the ranger behind you, 'cause that's where the Rangers gonna be.
One away in the top of the eighth inning. Michael Knorr departs, and Marshall Hunt will make his first home appearance as a member of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. A right-hander, 23-year-old out of Chico, California, takes the hill, and this is down and away to Donyer Cueva. Hunt attended Sacramento City College in Chappie's neck of the woods out in the Bay Area.
No, not quite Bay. That's more Central
that's
Valley.
That's true. Central Valley. Sorry. Yeah. Runner going, and that ball is hammered. Deep left center field. Long run for Cole. He can't get there. It one hops the wall. Rounding second. Now rounding third is Cueva. He'll try to score from first with him on the move, and he's in standing. And a rude welcome to the ball game for Hunt. As that was Blackman, rather, that rounded and scored. It was Cueva who ends up with a double. An RBI double that gives the Wood Ducks a 6-0 lead.
Yeah, pretty hard contact. Zach Cole moving the entire way. Had a long way to go from straightaway center. Almost got to that spot. He was at the start of the warning track. That was just about 5 feet beyond him. Marshall Hunt, who gave up 3 runs in his debut, has been throwing strikes, but he's been getting hit around a bit.
Son Morabell takes a strike, and it's a good thing that Cole recognized how much room he had, because we didn't want a repeat of what happened about 6 months, probably closer to 8 months now, with Drew Gilbert out in center field,
The
first-round pick out of Tennessee last year for the Woodpeckers, having a strong start to his pro career before it came to a sudden halt after he crashed into that fence out in left center field going for a fly ball. Ironically enough, that came against the Down East Wood Ducks.
Yeah, you're right.
Team that Gilbert also hit his first pro home run against. Breaking ball down and outside. Gilbert has had quite the start to his season up in Asheville, and many are thinking that he might soon get the call to Corpus Christi. Pitch to Morabell. Called strike two as Hunt gets that one over. And Gilbert now finds himself hitting .356 on the young season. Just the one home run, two driven in, but he's been getting on base a boatload. Just like he did in Fayetteville in 2022. And I think we've got a pitch clock violation, and we do. Hunt took too long. It is now 2-2. Nothing to debate over that one. That was pretty cut and dry. Wave of the runner at second. One down. 2-2. Breaking ball is chopped off to the right. Long look in by Hunt. Gastone gives him the spot. He deals. Ends up spiking it low. Full count, 3-2.
Get a chance to see the tandem from today again tomorrow on Sunday. Was it the vintage Taylor-Knorr tandem that we saw last week in Columbia? But see if they can make a correction in the series conclusion. You still put them up against anybody.
And a pitch clock violation for ball four. So that'll put runners at first and second. And now still only one out. Ian Moeller will bat. Chance to add to his RBI total. Hasn't done a whole lot, though, since that solo home run all the way back at the top of the first.
double and a walk to begin the outing for Hunt. Spent last year with the FCL Astros. And he spikes a breaking ball. Wild pitch. He'll advance both runners. Still trying to dial in that command. Also was part of four games in 2021 in the Complex League. Went 1-2 with a 3.90 earned run average over 30 innings in the FCL last year. 36 punch-outs. Infield in again for the Woodpeckers as Moeller shooting for the downs. Can only foul it off. Despite the strong start to the season for Fayetteville at 8-6, they're on the verge of dropping 3 of 4 series openers, so that first game hasn't been too kind to the Peckers. Hunt misses with 94 down and away. Did win that series opener against Fredericksburg, but that was it. 2-1, hit a mile high, shallow right field. Clifford charging in, calls everyone off, makes the catch. No tags, not with Clifford's arm as he one-hops it in from right field. And Hunt gets an important out number two with two still in scoring position. Moeller moves to 1-for-5 on the night. And Abby Ortiz. See if you can really put this game out of reach with the base hit, runners going on contact. Breaking ball up and away. Elsewhere around the Carolina League, a 7-4 lead now for the Mudcats, so Kannapolis putting a bit of a dent into that advantage. That went up and away. Game in the bottom of the eighth inning, though, so time not on the side of the Cannonballers. Lynchburg still up 7-2 on Fredericksburg. That game in the top of the sixth inning in Virginia. 2-0 gets away from Gastone. It's a called strike. No advance. Charleston, 2-1 lead over the Myrtle Beach Pelicans down in South Carolina. That game in the top of the sixth inning. Couple of games earlier going final. Fouled straight back by Ortiz. It was an Education Day game for the Columbia Fireflies on the road in North Augusta. Take on the Green Jackets, and Columbia proved 8-6 with a 3-1 win in that game. Same can be said for the Delmarva Shorebirds, who were blanked by the Salem Red Sox 5-0. Pitch up and away, and the count now full on Ortiz with two down. Seems like everyone just hanging around in the beginning part of this Carolina League season. Still anyone's game. Fastball up and away, ball four. And Hunt issues his second walk. That loads the bases for the cleanup man, Yossi Gallant.
I think we're in for a competitive Carolina League this year just based on the 2-week sample that we have so far. I think for the Woodpeckers and the mentality that this group has to have is, you know, just keep a competitive, stay in the hunt for the final couple of series. Last year they were kind of out of it by the 2-week mark, the championship week. So you can go into a series with something to play for at the back end of each half. You know you've been competitive.
Of course, bring up a good point there, Chappie. There are two halves.
Yep.
Flared, and Encarnacion makes the catch to end the inning. So Marshall Hunt comes on, does give up an RBI double. The run charge to Knorr, however, is able to bounce back and strand the bases loaded. Now East, though, gets another insurance run across, 6-0 as we head to the home half of the eighth.
You got have to play the bongos, the drums. There you go.
Off the bottom of the eighth inning for the Woodpeckers, the shortstop, number 12, Leos Danny Molina.
Bottom third here in the bottom of the eighth for the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Leos Danny Molina will bat against Luis Ramirez on for his second inning in the out of the bullpen, rather, as there's a called strike at the knees. Ramirez, a 1-2-3 seventh, in which he struck out a pair. Molina, who's 0-for-2 so far, takes a ball down and away. Major league level, the Houston Astros on the verge of handing Tampa Bay just their fourth loss of the season. Up 5-0 in the sixth. Skied foul straight back. Former Fayetteville Woodpecker Luis Garcia, 5 shutout innings. Just 2 hits allowed, 6 strikeouts for the righty.
Yeah, good to see him with a strong outing. He hasn't quite been himself to begin the year.
Top guys to ever pitch in a Woodpecker's uniform. Molina stays alive, fouled off again. That one hit off the light tower and bounced straight at our cameraman, our team photographer rather, Joe Dwyer. Missed him by inches. Wasn't even phased. And Molina sends another one in that same direction, but this one will end up towards Hay Street. Ramirez winds and deals. It's popped up again. This one might be playable. Late break, though, by Moeller, and it will not be as it lands in the second row behind the screen.
I think I didn't even make a play. He's bailed out. Put his hands over his head. That was a good pop-up. Easy to catch that one.
1-2. Hit hard on the ground to second. Easy play for Colley, throws to first in time. You know, Chappie, I got in trouble once my time during in the Cape Cod League in 2021. We're at a game in Brewster where there's a bunch of people watching the game behind us. There was a pop-up, and it was hit pretty high, and plenty of time to get underneath, and everyone just ran. And I was yelled at by my broadcast partners for saying, you got to get underneath that and make the play. Jackson Lofton takes one in on the hands, and he is hit by a pitch, so he'll be the first batter in 6 Fayetteville hitters to reach base. But I don't know, maybe it's because they were small children, I guess, was the reason why.
Yeah,
that was not a popular opinion. But
yeah, if you're a small kid, you know, safety probably comes first. But
they had gloves, man.
Yeah, and if you're, you know, a middle-aged adult or a young adult, the statistical odds of you going to a baseball game and getting a foul ball are stacked against you. They are very slim. So when you are picked out of the crowd to be the one that has the chance to make the play, I think you got to try and capitalize and make the play.
Got to use those skills from your youth, fielding fly balls. Rolando Espinosa takes ball one.
That's coming from a guy, though, that also just totally wimped out and jumped out of the way of a foul ball that came screaming into my booth in Columbia.
Left quite the dent.
It did. Can you imagine if it hit my hand?
Yeah. in the visiting booth at Segra Park as Espinosa fouls one straight back. They're going to have to get some new drywall put in there.
Yeah.
New piece of sheetrock. Espinosa 0 for 2, a strikeout and a flyout. Great crowds, though, over the weekend in Columbia that Fayetteville played in front of on the road. Espinosa checks his swing for a ball. First time that Fayetteville made the trip to Columbia in a couple of years. Those two teams did not play in the 2022 season. Espinosa way late on the swing. That's strike two. And now Espinosa granted time. Lofton, small lead off of first base. Ramirez, a nod. Now the 2-2. This is inside. Starting to see the Woodpeckers work some deep counts. They weren't really able to do it against Joseph Montalvo, who pitched an efficient six innings, allowing just one hit, no runs. And in line for the victory, it improved to 2-0 as Espinosa swings and misses and goes down on strikes. Second time he's struck out, and the second out of the bottom of the eighth. Meanwhile, Andrew Taylor's on the hook, gave up just one run. That came in the first inning on the Moeller solo homer. Fall to 1-1. Ryan Clifford looking for something to hit. He's walked in his last two trips. Gets a pitch right down the middle, but had the take sign on. Along with the two walks, Clifford grounded out all the way back in inning number one. Takes a fastball up and in. Has just the one home run on the season. Came in this ballpark. He hit it off the roof of Healy's. At the time, we thought that'd be one of the longer home runs of the season, and then Zach Cole hit one over everything in right field later on the week against Fredericksburg for a grand slam that gave Fayetteville the lead and eventually the victory. Came in the seventh inning, 2-1. As Chappie alluded to earlier, I think by design, opposing pitchers have kept the ball out of the strike zone intentionally against Clifford. This one's in the zone, though, and he rips it down the right field line. It's a base hit, rounding second Lofton. He'll try to get to third. The tag is in time. An absolute cannon uncorked by Jason Morabel. And that will end the inning. Ricky Rivera not pleased with the call. That will end the inning on a sour note for Fayetteville. End up leaving one on, one hit, no errors, no runs scored. Fayetteville blanked over eight innings. We head to the ninth, 6-0 down east on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Thank you, sir. I'm here with Braylee. Braylee, how old are you?
Seven.
You just turned seven in April, right?
Yes.
All right, you ready to play?
Yes.
Okay, your job, she's an easy one. All you got to do is tell me how many people are here tonight. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here's your guesses. Is it A, 2,042, B, 2,035, or C, 2,103? A, B, or C?
A.
Braylee says A. Give it to her. Oh, C. Braylee, I'm so sorry. Look in that camera right there, right here, and say, go Peckers.
Go Peckers.
That's right. Good job, baby.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My music hits me so hard. Makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me. What am I too wild and too hype? It's just good when you know you're down. I'm super dope all the way from the Oak Town, and I'm known as such. And then
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Marshall Hunt.
Yeah, that's how we living, and you know, can't touch this. Look at my eyes, man, you can't touch this.
Leading off the top of the ninth inning for the Wood Ducks.
On to the ninth inning here at Segra Stadium. Fayetteville has not been their night at the plate. Called strike one on Anthony Gutierrez. Back on the mound, Marshall Hunt. And back on the play-by-play, it's Andrew Chapman.
All right, Colin, time to take it home. Marshall Hunt delivers down and in. And it's 1-1. Anthony Gutierrez tonight has been involved in the offense. He's contributed to two of the six runs on a sacrifice fly and an RBI single. Here's the pitch, and it's grounded out to third. Narbe Cruz been busy on the corner today. He collects and throws right to the belt of Encarnacion at first, one away.
Earlier today, manager Ricky Rivera talked about the versatility that Narbe Cruz provides throughout the field. Play over at third, play at second base, seen him at first base. I think he also took a game at shortstop as well. So no matter where you put him on the infield, you know you're going to get S-tier defense out of Narbe.
First pitch to Miguel Villarreal is hit deep out into left field. This is back to the track, to the wall. It's off the middle of the fence. Espinoza plays the quick carom, zips it into the infield, and Miguel Villarreal goes to second. His first hit of the night is a double. And he just missed a home run. Would have been his second of the year.
It's got to feel like a cathartic game for Down East, exercising a lot of demons they had over the first 2 weeks of the year. Offensively, they've just finally put it all together. Everyone now has reached base in this game throughout the entire order. A lot of extra base hits as well. Could be a turning point offensively for the Texas Rangers single-A affiliate here this week.
First pitch strike down the middle to Cam Colley on a Marshall Hunt fastball, and it's 0-1. Charleston leads Myrtle Beach in the top of the seventh, 2-1. Low-scoring game there. Colley swings through. It's nothing at two. Lynchburg and Fredericksburg are playing in Virginia. And the Hillcats lead 7-3. Here's the 0-2. Fastball just a little low. And it's 1-2. Salem and Delmarva have gone final. We had one shutout already tonight in the league. Red Sox beat the Shorebirds 5-0. The Jackson Holiday-less Delmarva Shorebirds. A 1-2. Down in the dirt. Colley swings through. Gaston picks up. Drops the tag. Completes the strikeout. We weren't sure how long we would see the young 19-year-old first overall pick in Jackson Holiday. Was he even 19 yet? He might have still been 18. But he had an on base over 500. He was batting near 400. Didn't have any home runs, but he had 15 base hits. He had six or seven doubles, and Delmarva promoted Jackson Holiday to Aberdeen, the Ironbirds, on Monday.
Not too far of a ride for him.
JoJo Blackman takes the first pitch up high, ball one.
But I'll tell you what, this Shorebirds offense been outstanding to start the year with or without Holiday. They're hitting still well over 280 as a team. Fayetteville coming into tonight at 258. They were second in the league, so we're talking about 20-plus percentage points higher as a team.
Yeah, their first shutout defeat of the year. Fastball strike to JoJo Blackman. The Salem Red Sox got a really good start. Five innings, eight strikeouts out of Dalton Rogers. JoJo Blackman ready, swings and misses at a breaking ball, and it's now 1-2. He's a third-round pick by Boston out of the University of Southern Mississippi last year, so a nice showing for him today on the mound.
Miguel Belay also had his first professional home run, at least an affiliated ball. Huge prospect in the Boston system.
That was an eighth-inning solo home run. Here's the kick, the 1-2 pitch. Blackman takes a changeup low and away.
Next opponent for Fayetteville. When they go out on the road next week, they'll be making the trip up to Virginia for the only six games against the Red Sox single-A affiliate.
Columbia beats Augusta today, fresh off their win against the Woodpeckers 3-1. Kannapolis dropped to Carolina 7-4. Pitch, down and in. So a loss for the South Division's top team, Kannapolis. By way of the top seed in the North, the Carolina Mudcats. So even with a Fayetteville loss today, worst they'll be is two back of the Cannonballers. Payoff pitch, just inside. It's ball four.
It seems like that's what the Mudcats have done well, is cool teams off. They cooled off this Wood Ducks team after the strong start they had last week, and now see them playing that red-hot Cannonballers bunch in Kannapolis, and no problem for them. So I think Fayetteville has to be feeling pretty good about splitting those two games the first time around. Nearly swept that two-game series had it not been for the extra-inning rally from the Mudcats.
First pitch out in front of the plate, and that'll get to the backstop. Ball one to Daniel Cueva, and Hunt just didn't have the release point right with that breaking ball. That was the third walk, by the way, for JoJo Blackman. He stands on second base now with the wild pitch. Villarreal to third, 6-0 down east. Out hitting Fayetteville 10-2 tonight. They suffered their first shutout loss, the Woodpeckers did, on April 21st in Columbia. That was a 7-0 game. This one has sort of a similar feel to it. Fastball swung on and missed by Cueva up above the zone. It's 1-1.
Good news for that home dugout. About as quick of a turnaround as it gets all season long.
That's right. 11:05 first pitch tomorrow with about 4,500 kids in the building going to be screaming their ears off. Can't wait.
Uh-oh.
And Hunt has called for the trainer.
Hate to see this.
Yep.
There's a right-hander already loosening up for the Woodpeckers, so it seems like they are at least prepared if Hunt can't continue, but that's the least of their concerns right now. I mean, instantly, Jennifer Bardalis came jogging on out to the dugout to check on Hunt.
I missed the gesture, the signal that Hunt gave to the dugout to come and check him out. It's like they're maybe looking at his right pitching hand, from what I can gather.
If it is that hand, at least it's a clear indication of what's been going on. You hope it's nothing in the upper arm or any of those areas, but still. Never want to see a pitcher out there who's giving his all motion to the training staff.
You have the home plate umpire, Chris Janke, standing by as well, and he's kind of examining the situation. Gives us a chance here with a quick stoppage to peek elsewhere around the out-of-town scoreboard, around the Astros affiliate system precisely. And tonight, the Asheville Tourists beginning a new road series, taking on Tampa Bay Rays affiliate Bowling Green. Hunt's going to look like stay out there, so that's a good sign. Asheville was down 3-0, but put up a 5-run fourth, followed by a 6-run fifth. To go out 11-3, Drew Gilbert hit his second home run of the season today. Zach DiZenzo and Miguel Palma each hit their first in high A. Ryan Wroblewski hit his third double. Jacob Melton and Logan Cerny doubled as well. So Daniel Cueva ready. Marshall Hunt going to stay in the game. And a fastball misses low. Just squeezing through Gastone, but he'll keep the runners where they are. Ryan Gusto on the mound today for the Tourists. Currently pitching in the fifth inning. He's given up 3 earned runs on 5 hits. The Asheville Bats out and swinging today. 9 hits already, halfway through the game, and 6 extra base hits. Deep fly ball pulled to right. A leap by Clifford. He can't get it. And it'll hop off of the wall, over the top of the wall, and into Healy's bar for a 2-run ground rule double. And blow this one up to 8-0.
What a turnaround it's been at the plate tonight for Daniel Cueva. Had a hat trick his first 3 at-bats, an RBI double last inning, and then brings in 2 more with a ground rule double. He is seeing the ball well after a tough night. That can be a real challenge to kind of get things going offensively, and Ricky Rivera going to make a move to the bullpen once again.
Yep, Marshall Hunt will depart. A couple of runs to his line in the ninth inning. three total so far. Make it two, rather. One inherited runner scored on him in the eighth inning. And a new arm to tell you about when we come back. 8-0 Wood Ducks. This time I might just disappear. This time I might just disappear. This time I might just disappear.
Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Service. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 43, Manuel Urias.
Woodpeckers debut now, trying to get this final out of the ninth inning. Two-run double by Daniel Cuevas made this an 8-0 game. Chase Marshall Hunt from the mound, and now it's Manuel Urias. Added the Fayetteville roster yesterday with the promotion of Zach Matthews. And the pitch is fouled straight backwards. Ysan Morabel batting for a sixth time. He's walked three times and also reached on a single. And here's the 0-1. It is low. One ball and one strike on Morabel. And well, Urias, a former Philadelphia Philly farmhand, claimed off of waivers by the Astros in 2022. Here's the pitch. And it is a called strike at the knees, 92-mile-per-hour fastball. Urias, a tall right-hander, 6'6", 200 pounds, originally from the Sinaloa, Mexico area. Pitched in the Florida Complex League for the Phillies last year, as well as the Clearwater Threshers at the Single-A Florida State League. Swinging a foul back into the netting, two strikes on Morabel. So Urias pitching tonight in his first Astros minor league system game. And time called to the plate by Morabel. Only time he's been retired today was in the fifth, facing Michael Knorr on a ground out. 1-2. Sticks the bat out, hits it off of the glove of Urias. It's deflected over to second base where Lofton gathers and throws to first in time to get the final out of the inning. So Urias in his debut comes on, does his job, gets us to the bottom of the ninth inning. Two more runs cross on the Cueva double, and it's 8-0 Wood Ducks going to the bottom of the ninth.
Mamma mia, mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me, for me, for me.
this Wood Ducks pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Wood Ducks, number 44, Seth Clark.
Welcome back to Sacra Stadium. We have a new entry into the game for Down East. Tucker Mitchell has taken over as the new first baseman for Abby Ortiz. Narbe Cruz is the batter, and he foul tips the first one against a new left-hander, Seth Clark. Clark enters on for the sixth time this year, and he's been nails for Down East. Narbe Cruz takes a strike, two-strike count on him. Six innings, he's given up one unearned run. Doesn't have an ERA, no record, and a reluctant swing at the top of the zone, and Narbe Cruz goes down. Two walks and now eight strikeouts on the year for Seth Clark, trying to lock up this win for Down East in the series opener. Now he faces Zach Cole.
Well, it's been a tough night here in Fayetteville. Completely different story for the Asheville Taurus. First pitch misses outside, but mentioned earlier how Drew Gilbert homered. Well, he's done it again. Two homers tonight for Gilbert and a 12-3 lead for the Taurists.
Fastball up high. Get ready, Astros fans. You might have a real one there. Drew Gilbert on the season is batting 375 in high A. Two for three tonight, with his three RBIs. Cole, big whiff on a center cut fastball.
You think with how the ball's been flying out that the game would be in Asheville, but it's actually on the road.
Yeah.
At the Hot Rods.
Cole takes a strike, and it's a two-strike count now on Zach Cole. Tonight he's gone 0 for 3 with a pair of strikeouts and a ground out to second base. Woodpeckers are hoping to get the bat of Tyler Whitaker back in their lineup this week. As Cole takes a strike, strikes out looking. Sandro Gaston, the final chance. Saw Whitaker today in the dugout. He's got a laceration around his eye. Got cleated in the face in Columbia on Saturday night. Had to be removed from the game. It was a three RBI game for Tyler at the time, and now he's recovering from that. Sandro Gaston 0 for 3, cuts the first one, pops it up. First base side foul territory, Ortiz over to the screen, and it'll get into the seats.
Still able to keep that hit streak alive, though, to start the year. He has hit safely in all 12 games he's played in. 15-47 with a home run.
Gaston takes high. Corpus Christi lost an absolutely bonkers baseball game today against the Midland Rockhounds, 15-14. They got out hit 16-15. Gaston rips a line drive single. Well, maybe some more. All the way to the corner of left. Gaston turning and burning all the way down to second base, and he's in with a stand-up double. Down to their final out of the night, the Woodpeckers tally up their first extra base hit. Sandro Gastone hit the ball well tonight, a couple of times to center, and now he gets one to fall in. Luis Encarnacion will get a chance to swing it.
15-14, wow.
Wild. Corpus Christi falls to an unfortunate 4-11. Kennedy Corona had a two-home run game. He now has four in double A. Joey Loperfido hit another one. He has four in double A.
He's been red hot to start his time in double A. He's only been up there about a week now.
Yeah, he's batting .471. He has an OPS of 1700 to begin his double A career.
Joey Cooks, baby.
That's right. 3-for-5. A couple of runs. 3 RBIs today. Pitch to Encarnacion. A swing and a high fly ball out into shallow right field. Morabel drifting forward on it. He drops it. He drops the ball. It falls to the grass, and it's a shutout no more. Luis Encarnacion puts it in the air. Morabel was a little casual coming in on it. Gastone hustling around with two outs. And it's 8-1.
Jeffy, that's actually Abby Ortiz out there who moved from first base to right field to replace Marabell. And it seemed like he maybe just wasn't used to playing a fly ball on the lights there. He tracked it into his mitt, just didn't squeeze it. Fayetteville on the board late.
Well, it's the second run surrendered this year by Seth Clark, but he still won't have an ERA to speak of. Another unearned run against him. And now Dari Lorenzo. The pitch is up and outside. 1-0. Kennedy Corona had a 3-hit game today with those 2 home runs. The Hooks also got 4 hits as the pitch to Lorenzo is up and outside. 4 hits from Colin Barber.
8 runs, 6th inning for Corpus. Tough one to still lose.
Knee-high fastball, and it's 2-1. Aaron Brown gave up the majority of the runs, 9 hits, 9 earned runs over 2 2/3 innings. Lorenzo swings, line drive, out to short, it'll get through. Center fielder Gutierrez up to pick it up. Fayetteville saving some of their best swings of the day for the final inning.
Yeah, these swings still count for individual stats, and for Dari Lorenzo, wait until the 11th hour to extend his on-base streak now to 9 games. Continues to find ways to produce in this lineup, even though he's not really driving in a lot of runs, not a lot of extra bases, just consistent base hits for Dari.
So Leo Molina ready, 0-for-3 today, trying to get involved in this ninth inning with his buddies, and first pitch is up and outside. Next pitch, a knee-high changeup for a strike, 1-1. Sugarland Space Cowboys are warming up currently in Reno, Nevada. They'll play the Reno Aces in game one of that series. There's a swing and a foul ball hits straight back, and it kind of cripples the catcher, Ian Muller, for down east. Sounded like it hit him right on top of the foot. So 1-2 on Leo Molina, and Fayetteville down to their final strike tonight. They've ended the shutout bid with the drop ball in right field, scoring Gastone. Seth Clark at the belt, kicks, fires. And Molina foul tipped it again.
One of the rare 9:05 starts for Sugarland on the East Coast. Of course, for them out there, it's 8:05
in
the Houston area.
Well, they're actually in Reno, Nevada, which I think is not on the Central Time. I believe they're on West Coast time.
Yeah, I'm just saying for the fans out
now. Oh, right. If you're following the Space Cowboys. Chopper back to the mound, fielded by Seth Clark. Over to first, the underhand flip, and this ball game's over. So Fayetteville grabs a run very late tonight, but drops the series opener 8-1. They fall to 8-7 on the year and get to try it all over again about just over 12 hours from now on Education Day at 11:05. We'll be back in a moment to wrap this one up, give you the preview for tomorrow's Education Day contest. and send you on your way. 8-1 the final. Postgame show next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Let's see your ride. Trucks jacked up, flat bills flip back. Yeah, you can find us where the party's at. This is how we roll.
Time to close the night with the Woodpeckers postgame show. Here's Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey.
Hey, Woodpeckers fans, welcome back up to the broadcast booth as we get ready to send you on your way in this one. 8-1 the final score tonight. The Woodpeckers do manage to avoid the shutout bid, grab that final, that only run late in the ninth inning, but ultimately drop the series opener to Down East. Good news is, Colin, these guys get to turn right around tomorrow, throw this one out, and play at 11:05, a daytime ball game. On top of that, Andrew Taylor, Michael Knorr, they battled through their innings that they were out there on the mound. They were able to pick up a few strikeouts here and there. It wasn't quite their 21-strikeout type of performance that we saw about a week ago out in Columbia, but Brian Perez was solid out of the bullpen, helped them get out of a situation in the mid-innings there that kept it a one-run game. And I think you still like your opportunity to put Taylor Knorr back out there towards the back end of this series on Sunday. And it was just one of those games where there was a couple of hits sprinkled around, nothing really chained together, though, like we saw from Fayetteville during the opening homestand out here at Segres Stadium.
Yeah, well, as you know, Chappie, anything can change in the Carolina League, and really anyone can beat anyone in any given game.
Yeah.
That's a great thing about baseball. When you play so many games, you're bound to lose a good portion of them. Doesn't matter how much talent you have or who you got on the mound. And really, it was just kind of a rough day out there for Taylor Knorr, the pitching staff. Just ran into a hot offense, which for Down East is just what the doctor ordered. They had themselves a cold week last week against Carolina, and they came through and delivered the big first punch in this series, putting up 8 runs. Always great to see all 9 guys in the order reach base for the Wood Ducks. And so now it's up to Fayetteville to bounce back. As you mentioned, this is the quickest turnaround they're going to have this season,
yep.
Going from a 6:05 start on Tuesday, 11:05 tomorrow in front of a packed house. Some of the more exciting fans will have all season long, and a good chance to even the series. We've seen Fayetteville bounce back after a couple of rough openers so yep. far this season, and I expect nothing different tomorrow. You've got a great pitching staff up and down. The good thing about this staff is you can rely on anybody to give you some innings and give you a good outing, and I think that's what Fayetteville knows they have tomorrow. Offensively, they just need to bottle up whatever they had in that ninth inning, because we saw a nice furious rally. Gastone with the double, a couple of big hits as well, a little bit of luck to plate that first run, but you'll take it and kind of take some of that silver lining into the next game tomorrow, and should be another good matchup. Couple of great pitchers on the mound, just like we had today, and it's going to be tough to score runs in this series, despite the 8 runs that Down East put up today. It's not going to be easy to get runs against both these pitching staffs. These are two of the premier staffs in the Carolina League.
Yeah, in terms of metrically what they offer, no doubt. You know, you like the way Dari Lorenzo hit the ball today with a warning track fly ball, that single there in the ninth. Sandro Gastone putting the ball in play in 3 of his 4 at-bats with deep fly balls to center that double. So definitely some good swings throughout the lineup. See if they can link it together a little bit more tomorrow. As Colin mentioned, a very quick turnaround, 11.05 a.m. If you got the day off work and you want to come join the ballpark with about 4,000 small school children who are screaming their ears off, come on out, and it should be a fun atmosphere. Education Day at Segra Stadium. Right-hander Jose Fleury, he's going to go for right-hander Josh Gessner for the Down East Wood Ducks. That'll do it for us tonight, everybody. Thanks for joining us here in the broadcast booth. FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com tomorrow if you can't catch the game, or MILB.TV. 8-1 the final score. Good night, everybody, and thanks for joining us out here at Segra Stadium. Staring at you from the top of the game, man. I might drop the world if I change hands.